B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And thank you, Andrew McCutcheon, for making this a fun, fun day. John Kincaid Show here. Bob Cooney filling in with Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and Coach Eric Camille. We got Connor Thomas answering the phones. And of course,
how about that?
Heavy Chevy Mike taking care of the YouTube page. Yeah, how
Welcome
about that?
Welcome to the party.
We good? All right. Tom McCarthy was going absolutely berserk last night, so much so it woke you up from, you were just dozing off in the bottom of the ninth.
I'm incapable of watching sports in bed. So I
went. Oh, you can't do it.
I can't. I went.
Not
up,
just you. You should. Nobody should do it.
I went up in the ninth inning. I was like, all right, cool. I'll watch the ninth inning from bed. Saw the top of the ninth. Bottom of the ninth happens. Segura's up, and I started to fade. And it couldn't have been more than what, 7 minutes, 8 minutes later.
Yeah.
I wake up to Andrew McCutcheon. How about that walk off home run? I shot up and I was like, oh my god, a walk off! This is awesome. And then I went back to bed.
That was a fun win because it was so uncharacteristic of the Phillies that they get down 4-0. And I think like everybody, kind of like, oh geez, here we go. Maybe channel changing a little bit. I know a lot of people, including myself, stuck with it, stayed there. Hoskins hits a huge home run, comes through clutch.
Jack that.
Yeah, which hasn't been the MO of this team all that much this season.
No, I can't wait for him to be a DH. It's going to be great.
So he does that, pulls him within 4-3. Bullpen did a great job last night.
Yeah, they did.
They did a really, really good job after Spencer Howard.
Well, Bob, before you say anything, he ran like 3 bases last night. So let's cut him some slack. He was probably spent.
So he's on third base with 2 outs. Bryce Harper's up, and they intentionally walked Bryce Harper. I thought they did that just to keep Spencer Howard out on the field a little bit more because it didn't really make all that much baseball sense to walk your 3-hole hitter to get to your 4-hole hitter.
Well, we don't know if he had peanut butter sandwiches last night. Was there jelly on there? Is it grape? Is it strawberry? We have no idea. We don't know where his energy levels were at.
Well, yeah. He got pulled because he had a blister.
Yes, he did. He got pulled because he got a blister.
He also ran 3 bases, Pat.
Yeah, but I mean,
He ran three bases.
He got injured. Let's give the guy a break. He got a blister.
Injured.
Yeah, so he went to his hand. Those guys were on it right away, like Kruk and T-Mac. They said that he looked weird at one point, and then he like bit his, I don't know, Kruk was on it. Not that I wasn't paying attention, but
Did he bite the blister off?
He like bit his finger, and then they said he spit some skin out or something like that, so you knew it was.
That would make me respect him a little more if he bit his blister off.
Yeah, so he did all that. I don't know. And it was after the inning that, yes, he got a hit. He ran to second, got to third. They walked Harper, like I said. So he's on the base pass for the whole inning. He let off the inning with a hit.
It was probably exhausting for him.
And then he comes Blister back in not. And gets up 4 runs, 4 earned runs. Had 2 outs, gave up a hit, and then gave up consecutive triples, and things started to fall from there. But
it's
once again, he was very good through the first 2 innings.
It's something.
Which leads you to believe that maybe, just maybe, this guy is primed to be a bullpen guy. And why are they, what are they trying to do with him? Now look, Zach Eflin with this knee, and now it seems to be worse than they thought because he took a bullpen on Sunday thinking he was going to be able to get back in the rotation, and he can't. So you need pitchers out there. You need to throw a Vinny Velasquez out there, a Matt Moore out there, a Spencer Howard out there. Those are 3 of your 4 or 5 starters right now.
Well, then you're likely not going to be a playoff team unless you go and get another pitcher. Because it's not like you can float one of those. You can't float 3.
But, I mean, when are they going to do this? Vinny Velasquez in his last 10 outings has a 7.74 ERA.
Yeah, you can't pitch him.
But you have to pitch him. Like to Pat's point yesterday, what else do you have?
Mark Appel, come on down.
I agree, but you're still going to have to throw out. All right, you throw him in for who?
You got
to
trade for somebody.
I'm not throwing him in for Vinny Velasquez right now because I got to throw him in for Spencer Howard because he's not good for more than 3 innings, and now he's got a blister.
That's why Joe Girardi gets paid the big bucks.
I understand.
They got to get somebody.
They got to go get somebody. They should have gotten somebody 3 weeks ago.
They should have gotten Rich Hill. I mean, the Mets gave up literally nothing for him. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why you're not in on a trade like that.
We're sounding negative, but a good win by the Phillies. They pick up a half game because the Mets split last night. So the Phillies now sit at 3.5 out. They have 61 games to go.
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
You know, you just got to try to ride it and see what happens, I guess.
3/5 of your rotation is sketchy.
Okay, yeah. Don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
Yeah, Pat's telling you what to do here, James.
It's, yeah, well, there's a bigger picture. I mean, if you want to live on the micro level of enjoy the win, sure. 3/5 of your pitching rotation is trash, and 4/5 of it is you just can't count on.
Yeah, no.
I mean Aaron Nola exactly gave you a gem on Sunday, but you have no idea what you're getting from him start to start.
Yeah, what?
It's amazing they are where they are.
Can we get Sunshine Mary back, please?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great, great win last night. You're right.
But we're staring down the deadline, you know, barrel here, and moves need to be made, and probably more than one.
Yeah. Moves should have been made a while ago. That's the frustrating thing. Look, you went into this season with still Vinny Velasquez. Oh, maybe he can do it again. Zach Eflin, we were right on, basically saying, no, he turned it around. He looks better. They're no longer telling him to throw high pitches and let him get down in the zone like he likes to do. Fine. But your back end of 4 and 5 were still Vinny Velasquez and somebody.
I mean, I said this last week, and, you know, not to talk about John behind his back, but he said, well, you need the other teams to be a willing trade partner. And I was like, yeah, you do, but go find them. And guess what? Jock Peterson went to the Braves. Not that I wanted Jock Peterson, but he's on a tear.
You made a move.
Rich Hill went from the Rays to the Mets. Two teams in your division have already made moves, and we're sitting here standing, you know, 3.5 games out with 4/5 of your rotation is total question mark.
Now, there's two sides of this whole thing, and I forget. It may have been Marcus Hayes from the Inquirer that put this out, and it just made me think because of generalization, not specifically Marcus. But Marcus said, Andrew McCutchen will never have higher value than he has right now. Sell.
What are you bringing in for him?
I don't know.
He's your best bet right now.
I mean, is that where you should be, that you're looking to go young? Should you go the opposite direction of what we've been talking about?
No.
I don't disagree with you. I'd rather go in and
it's the second longest drought in baseball, the playoff drought in baseball. Second longest.
I'm having trouble.
It's been a decade.
Figuring this out. He wants to trade McCutchen now?
It was a tweet that said
yeah, that's,
he never will have more value. So I took it as
he's on sell, a hell of a streak, that Marcus Hayes.
Sell to get prospects, I guess is what he was saying. So build for the future. Look, I'm not going to divide. I think you should go in now because you're only 3.5 games out.
Well, one, you're assuming that they're going to have an eye for talent in the trade and get something back that's worth the crap.
Well, you can't assume also that you don't have an eye for talent.
Oh, yes, I can.
I'm a Phillies fan. You can, but
yes,
they can't.
They have a track record of not getting good enough value in return.
But you're not going to look at yourself and say, no, we can't make a trade because we don't know what we're
doing
as far
as
prospects go.
Well, no, but you're 3.5 games out. Why would you do that?
You're one game over 500.
That honestly might be the dumbest suggestion I think I've heard in terms of the Phillies.
Look, I'm not specifying.
Let's trade Andrew McCutchen. That's a new low for him.
No, stop. I'm not making it particular to Marcus.
Because he had a trash point this weekend. So
I'm just talking about the selling thought of people.
I mean, after all, you know, they choose Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons over Giannis and Drew Holiday.
All right, you're going the direction that I'm specifically saying. Let's not go in. Not do it, please.
I'm sorry.
What I'm trying to say is, should there be more of an eye towards sell than buy?
No.
Like last night would make you say no, because a great win last night. You close it to 3.5. The Mets have a game in hand. You know, no, probably not.
No, I can't.
But it makes me think.
I can't get behind that at all.
Well, all right, so what are the Phillies doing? Because if they were real buyers, they should have bought already.
Well, for
they should have done something already, like you just said.
I agree, but they're the Phillies. I mean,
so the excuses we're making for them are, well, they shouldn't trade for young prospects because they can't. They don't have an eye for talent.
Yep.
And they haven't done anything so far because, yeah, they're the Phillies.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Wow.
I mean, does anybody disagree?
I agree that they're the Phillies. I can't be in an organization and stop myself from doing something because I think I'm terrible at it when it's the essence of, it's one of the three ways you build a team.
Yeah, it's pretty important.
I mean, that's crazy.
I'm not selling. It's been 10 years. John Middleton has to be pissed. It's $185 million payroll, and he's getting one game above 500. What are we doing here?
I don't know.
If you sell, you're just kind of good enough to hang on and be out of it. Like, if you sell,
if
Andrew
you
McCutcheon,
buy and you don't, I'm playing devil's advocate. If you buy and you don't get anything this year, then your future is as muckety as it is as it's been for the last 10.
I just don't see any upside to it. Go for it. You're 3.5 games out. It's about to be August. You're playing okay baseball. It can be a lot better if you got a pitcher and a bullpen arm.
And again, devil's advocate, you're a farm system guy. So if you can sell McCutcheon to a team that's on the cusp, I don't know, just pulling teams out of a hat, although San Diego, L.A., and San Fran probably will all make the playoffs. But if it's somebody else vying for a spot and they want McCutcheon and they can offer you young prospects.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. Pat, where are you headed on this?
I mean, they have to be buyers. You have to go address something. 3.5 games out. The team in first place is banged up.
Yeah.
You have to.
Why haven't they done anything yet?
I don't know. Look, we're sitting here. Sky is falling 4 days before the trade line. The Mets went and got Rich Hill. But other than that.
Oh, no. Like, I agree. They're
we're sitting here like screaming, acting like these teams have made these moves. They haven't.
Two teams in your division, the Braves and the Mets, have made moves already.
Yeah, but they're not. I mean, I don't think they're needle moving moves.
Well, Rich Hill would have the second best.
Look,
ERA
my point
on the
is
Philly staff.
If it's Friday,
great.
If it's Monday because the deadline's Friday. If it's Monday and they haven't made any moves, let's complain.
All right, the idea
that we're sitting here screaming, make a move.
I think
is,
we're screaming.
We're not screaming.
We're
four-fifths of the rotation is
screaming.
Dog crap.
See, now he's screaming.
Because you get under my skin. You've been saying these extremisms.
I got him.
All right,
don't be Johnny Kincaid now getting hung up on words, all right? You know what I meant when I said we're screaming.
No,
we just spent 5 minutes bitching about the fact that they haven't made a trade when the trade deadline is when.
You just denied. You basically scoff over that the Mets and Braves have already made moves. You're like,
John Peterson. What a trade.
Am I talking to a wall?
I guess so.
But they made a move. Like, even
like,
if the
great,
Phillies,
but
they
my
made
point
a
is,
move.
My point is, like, other than those two minor moves, which they're minor moves, has there been a move out there that you're like, oh my God, I wish the Phillies
were in?
It's
not a minor move. The Braves had an injury to a clutch position, and they went out and addressed it within like 4 days. The Phillies had an injury to their second best pitcher.
We got to agree to disagree, man.
And
like,
sat here and watched.
I'm not going to bitch and moan about the fact they didn't go get Rich Hill and Jock Peterson.
All
I'm
right,
not going to
Bob,
ruin
you
the
and,
day.
You and Pat having a good time today.
So
what is your deal today? You're like in a mood. What? What are you like?
Dude,
emotion fragile? What happened to you today?
Should we do full discovery here?
No, like, I'm genuinely curious. Like, you're like,
why are you denying that they made moves? Nobody's saying it's like an MVP caliber move. It's a move.
You're not going to make MVP or needle moving moves, really. I don't think. I don't think the Phillies are in any position. I mean, tell me if you think I'm wrong. Are they in a position to make
deny a Rich Hill? No,
absolutely
not.
A needle moving move. I don't. I don't
you have
think
Vinny Velasquez,
are.
Matt Moore, and Spencer Howard, who gets winded running two bases and gets blisters.
You're getting way too animated over Rich
you
Hill and Jock Peterson.
You are pissing me off at 6:13 in the
good.
Morning.
You know what? Good. So, I'm glad I'm pissing you off. How about that?
So you
I'm
know,
glad.
You know what could settle all this would be a 40-yard dash race so you guys could like have it out. But it turns out that's not happening because someone incurred.
And why?
Someone incurred an injury yesterday.
Like a bitch. Like a bitch.
I'm just asking.
Like a bitch.
As you guys were talking.
I'm going to kill him today.
Oh, stop. As you guys, as we were talking about yesterday, Pat and Jamie decided to have it out on a 40-yard dash, which was going to take place today after work. And I think, Pat, did you put the poll up of who would win the race?
Oh, put the poll up. I walked around the office getting everybody's opinion on it.
Yeah, he was
you know,
peacocking around a little bit. But he put the poll up, and I believe, was it close to 60% were in favor of you winning this race?
It was anywhere from like 56. I mean, it depends on Twitter or Instagram, but it was like 56 to 63.
Okay, so Pat, the younger man, the shorter stature man, I don't want to say you challenged Jamie. I think I kind of put it out there.
We were talking about outrunning a bear and who would actually survive.
So then we decided
all you have to do is not be the slowest.
Right.
When running from a bear.
So I was just about to put together the tail of the tape yesterday. I was going to involve with Heavy Chevy Mike, and we were putting together a tail of the tape, and then I get a text from Jamie, and he says, bad news. The race has to be postponed. I think I legit broke my toe.
Like a bitch.
So I'm like, oh no, what happened? Acting concerned while I'm laughing and kind of have tears welling up my eyes.
Well,
with
I told
laughter.
Addy, I was like, I don't think I can race tomorrow.
You know who he didn't tell? He didn't tell me.
Well, we saved that for you to come in today.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But go ahead, please. How did this happen?
So I said, you know, the oh no, what happened? I kind of rolled my eyes and laughed. And Jamie says, I was walking. Now, he's walking down to his cousin's house, who lives about 9 houses away. And he's, what do you have, the stroller?
I had the wagon.
The wagon. So the wagon's behind him. And Jamie has his phone in his hand.
With like an idiot.
And he says he gets a Woj bomb, an alert, about a trade in the NBA. Not a major trade, but whatever. Yeah. A trade that garnered Jamie's attention. Jamie looks at said phone, takes his eyes off of where he's going.
It wasn't like an immediate thing. I was scrolling and reading like an idiot.
Well, So, next thing he knows, there's an uneven pavement. He's not looking. Big toe meets pavement in a pretty physical manner. Jamie lets out a cry of, oh my God, I'm hurt.
I was distracted.
Yeah, it was my own fault. So, I'm just asking for a postponement. I'm not canceling the race.
He stubbed his toe because of a Valanciunas tweet.
Yeah, basically, it was Woj's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Coach, your thoughts?
Why would I make this up? What do you think? I'm afraid?
No, well, Coach? That's what Jamie's first thing he was. He came in today. He goes, Pat, I'm not afraid of you. Coach, any ruling on this? Or are you just going to give us pregnant pauses? Or it's not good radio.
No,
Well, you guys think I would make this up? To what? Train for a week?
No,
I'm not going to train.
Nobody's.
Why would I fake this?
You can't deny us the pleasure of making fun of you.
Well, that's fine, but these two,
I just want his opinion. He hasn't given
doubting it like happened.
It's just very convenient.
Yeah, it's a little.
It's extremely convenient.
It's a little odd. It's very convenient, and I think it's up. It's.
I said to my wife, I said, "There's no way I don't look like a bitch in this," and she said, "Yeah, basically."
I
understand the optics of it.
The fact, too, that you came in and within 5 minutes were ripping Spencer Howard for an injury is, I mean,
yes,
irony.
I'm comparing myself walking to a pool to a Major League Baseball player.
You got injured because of a Valanciunas tweet.
Oh, my God.
I can't get over
that. You know what is convenient, Coach? Amtrak. Enjoy the superior comfort of Acela for less with Saver Fares one-way trips from Philadelphia as low as $43. Book early and save it at Amtrak.com. I'm not looking at Jamie's injury as convenient. I think he was looking forward to today. I don't think he was backing out.
I mean, I'm going to win. Why would I be afraid?
That's one way to put it. Sure.
Yeah. It's,
you can't really pump your chest out when you, according to you, broke your toe because of a Woj. I wouldn't even say it was a Woj firework.
It was shrapnel.
You got so distracted by a Woj firework that you broke your toe.
And Egan comes in today and he, correctly says, I even wore an aerodynamic shirt. It has holes in it and everything.
This thing's
now,
so wrinkled.
This is normal wear.
No, I chose the most wrinkled shirt I could because it'll cut through the wind.
Now you iron your t-shirts.
I do.
Yeah.
This one's not ironed. I was ready for battle.
Okay, so you were showing like something. I was like putting, I don't know, black under your eye. To you is wearing a wrinkled t-shirt when you go into battle?
That's it. Like, no one wants to tangle with a guy in a wrinkled t-shirt. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he knew that. I don't know. But the fact that I'm finding out at 5:15 in the morning and you're finding out at 5:15 at night, that doesn't sit well with me.
Well, I think...
A little added motivation.
I think there was an embarrassment factor there.
Well, he texts you.
Well, he didn't want to go direct.
Judge. Didn't text Judge? Or, I'm sorry, didn't text Coach? Didn't text me? Connor didn't find out.
I was hoping it was going to feel fine this morning.
Yeah, I think maybe he just put it out there and said, now, did you bring sneakers or anything? Because you're wearing flip-flops. Okay, yeah. So there's no chance that we go to... What size should... I mean, I can lend you my sneakers if you want to give
13.
It a go. All right, these are only 12, so no, I guess you're not going to do
that. Let's just give it a go.
But he doesn't have any...
I don't have any sneakers.
He's got no sneakers. He's got no socks.
We'll find them for you.
I'm not. I have a golf outing on Saturday. I'm not.
Oh, of course. I mean, there it is.
I'm not messing it up worse.
See, because I was wondering when I heard you were injured, did you trip over the eighth hole or the ninth hole?
No. Just walking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just walking to the pool.
And now you got to understand, when we actually do race, it'll be because the toe isn't 100% healed.
No, I don't think it's going to be an excuse.
I wish we weren't going through this and we were just racing today.
Jamie, I wish that too, bud.
I think I'm going to have to side with Jamie on this one.
Of course you were. Yeah. Of course.
I mean, I don't know why somebody would fake this.
That's
exactly.
I don't either.
Exactly.
It happens. Can't figure it out.
Let's get Kay in South Jersey real quick. Kay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, you guys got a lot of energy. Don't be fighting in the studio, man.
Oh, it's great. I got to play referee here, Kay.
Hey, listen. PSA to the Philly fans. Let's get ready for football. We had a chance to turn the team around, build it for the next few years. I mean, we literally could have just dropped the wallet, rebuilt the whole team. We could have got...
Uh-oh.
We lost him.
Okay. I didn't do it. It wasn't my fat finger. Hey,
you're still on the line.
Sure.
I think you just got zapped.
Yeah.
Get ready for football.
Yeah, and it's here. I mean, they're gathered
today.
That's what
Phillies fans are thinking. That's the mindset right now.
Well, that was exciting last night, but in reality, football's
number one.
There's
a lot of problems that face this team. That's the reality.
No question. There is. And my biggest beef is that they haven't already addressed it because we've been calling for it for 2 years. Now, Pat's right. They're only 3.5 games out. They have a legit shot. There should have been problems that were addressed long before 61 games to go in a season.
Pat doesn't agree with that opinion, so...
You two, forget the
I'm
race.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say. I stubbed my toe.
Oh, my God.
Woj just tweeted something out. What'd you say?
Ha, 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 ha.
No, Bob, they don't need to address anything. The deadline is Friday.
All right, a lot going on here today. 97.5 The Fanatic, the John Kincaid Show. John is in Las Vegas and will be for the remainder of the week. So it's going to be Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and Coach Eric Camille to carry you through. A lot to talk about. We did Phillies already. We want to get into Eagles. They are convening today. I guess they'll get weighed. They'll get measured. All of the fun stuff that they'll do to get ready to get onto the field tomorrow to start training camp. We'll get into that coming up. 610-632-0975. Everything's on the board today, and we'll get into it all. Time at the Fanatic, 622.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. John Kincaid Show, 6 a.m. hour. Brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Jamie, you're a pro. A hurt pro, but a pro nonetheless.
I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
You are limping a little bit. It hurts that much.
It's painful.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think maybe we should put a splint on there or something.
Nah.
Can't do anything for a broken toe.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. So what do you give it, a week?
Yeah,
we got to figure out when we're postponing
this
too.
Until next Tuesday.
Well, it's up to Pat now. Pat gets to choose when this race is run because you are the one that incurred the injury. He has been ready. He has the wrinkled shirt. He was ready to roll. Pat, when is a good day for you next week to have this race?
I'm like the Flyers, anytime, anywhere.
You're like the who?
The Flyers. They had that motto, anytime, anywhere.
That's their motto?
It didn't work for them last season, but the motto, anytime.
So you haven't won in 49 years.
I'm due.
Yeah.
Wow. What's your confidence level going into this race, Pat?
Now?
No.
Yesterday it was mediocre. Now? No, it's like 100%. I'm going to dust this fool's ass.
What? Dust this fool's ass.
Yep.
Jamie doesn't even consider this like a real competition. I can tell. I've known you for a long time. You're taking this rather lightly.
Well, I have a week now.
What does that mean? Oh, wait a minute. Conspiracy here.
Yeah.
You have a week now to prepare?
Why would I lie about this?
Because it's so absurd that you knew. You knew that you could hide behind, why would I lie about this?
Okay. I had some people on here. I'm looking at the YouTube page. Mr. Snuffy, your favorite. Just run it at FanFest now. That might be legit. Gives you two both about a month and a half to get ready.
No, I'm not going to get ready for it. So I'm not going to. Why delay it?
There's nothing I'm going to do to. If you're ready next week, you'll be ready September 18th.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to train for a 40-yard dash. I'm just going to. Nobody's winning here. We're all losing.
The Woj fireworks are only going to continue because NBA free agency is coming up. Good point. Drafts on Thursday.
I won't blind walk with it at the same time.
But it is Fan Fest, the return of it. 97.5 The Fanatics Fan Fest, Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. Fan Fest 2021 is a free event, but you will need a ticket to attend. You got to keep listening. We're always going to have ticket giveaways, special announcements, whole bunch of stuff coming up for it. It's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, the official partner and after party of 97.5 The Fanatics Fan Fest 2021. You know some of the things that are going to be happening, Coach? We're going to have DJ Mo Green. We're going to have a 30-foot rock wall. Bikini Beach makes its return. That's where Coach usually hangs out during Fan Fest. We have adult laser tag. Special guests, and trust me, this is really cool. They'll be announced this coming week, and you'll be told when you can meet and greet with them. You must be 21 to enter Fan Fest, and if you really, really want a ticket, it's really not that hard to get it. What's also not really hard to put your hands around is what is going on with Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers, and it is Jamie's linchpin. My fault. I guess I should have warned you about
this. This is the linchpin.
One report yesterday from Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report says that the Sixers and Ben Simmons haven't been in touch so far this offseason. Now, he was over in Wimbledon with his girlfriend, and then it appears from there he went to California to his new house. So, okay, it's conceivable they haven't talked. Another report yesterday from John Clark and some others in town, Kyle Newbeck, say that, no, as a matter of fact, people from the team have been in touch with Ben Simmons, even on his birthday. Who you believing? Now, obviously, the team has the most to lose by this information getting out, because if this gets out, it leads to the speculation that he's demanding out, which then affects his trade value. So my gut says they haven't talked. And I guess that's okay, but it's certainly weird and giving me the feels that Ben wants out.
I'd be more shocked if they didn't talk than if they did. I mean, you do have plans in place. There are people assigned to make sure Ben Simmons is doing what you've asked him to do in the offseason. There are people's jobs on the line that if a general manager comes to you and says, hey, Jamie, what has Ben said about, getting to work on whatever we have written out for him next week? And the guy says, oh, I haven't talked to him.
Well, apparently
I'd be surprised.
Okay. But, I mean, it would be conceivable that they haven't talked also, right?
Not to me, no.
Like, wouldn't they get 2 or 3 weeks off before the off-season program starts?
Yeah, but you're still in contact.
Is it that constant, guys?
All right, let's look at it this way. In the manner of which this kid put it out there saying Sixers haven't talked in 3 weeks,
said haven't been able to get in touch with.
All right, if you want to go with that wording, no.
That was his wording, not mine.
Yeah, no, I know. No, they haven't been able to get in touch with him. Would they lose his cell number? Did they lose his agent's number? I mean, no. If Ben Simmons isn't responding,
well, that's a possibility. I mean, we always look at it from our perspective. It is possible that Ben could be sick of his time here.
I'd be surprised. He doesn't have hand in this.
Yes, he does. He's an NBA player with the most powerful agent in the game.
Yeah.
If he was sick of being here, he could, in theory, force his way out, like Dame is probably going to do in Portland.
I guess I looked at it more on the Sixers side than I did on the players' side, thinking, like, no, there's no way they haven't gotten in touch with him.
But if he's not responding,
whether he hasn't responded or not,
Right? Like, this kind of smells a little bit to me. Because the team says, no, 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 we've been in touch. His birthday, yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course you're going to want to say that.
Yeah, I mean,
because
yeah,
they make sure that their relationship appears healthy.
Yeah. I don't know, Pat, you think that Ben Simmons is just turned off to the Sixers and hasn't responded to any phone calls?
How much do these guys even talk during the offseason?
Well, that's also my point.
A lot more than you think. Trust me on that. It is a lot more than you think.
I thought this was a lot of hot air.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal either way, either. I just, you know.
I think it's not a minor deal.
Well, if it's Ben Simmons not returning calls or not responding to them,
it's a major deal.
Yeah. I players, coaches, too much to me. Like, when I was covering the beat and I would know what was going on in the offseason, I would be like, Pat, like you're talking about, I would be like, why do you guys feel the need to communicate so much with each other?
So
take the summer off.
If I'm Ben and I just left London and now I'm in Cali, I might be like, yeah, I don't really want to. Hey, Rich, Clutch Sports, can you guys handle all my communications right now? I'm checking out for a couple weeks. Like, I can see that being a real possibility.
Yeah.
Like, Rich, talk to whoever the point man is with the Sixers and... Like, I don't need to...
So, to Pat's point, how big of a story is it? If he's taking a few weeks off and says, like, all right, let me get my head straight, leave me alone, you know, tell them to leave me alone for a while.
Well, I guess it compares to years past. If he's been communicative with them over the offseason, and now all of a sudden he's not, then it might be, something.
Yeah. There could be something there.
I just feel it's a little rocky between the two right now. And I don't think it's any of the team's doing at all. I think this has been, and look, I'm an outsider reading into the situation, but I have a feeling they're not thrilled in Philadelphia anymore.
Yeah, it's let's see. Could you label it? It's like a low-hanging fruit report.
Yeah.
Okay, have they talked to Tobias Harris? Have they talked to, you know, maybe those guys are...
Yeah.
Maybe there is a month where you say, go away for a month and we'll talk to you later.
Where's Joel Embiid's knee surgery? It's a short offseason.
I don't know what the hell is going on there. Now there's rumors running wild about that he never really had a torn meniscus, maybe.
Oh,
and
God.
That the Sixers, you know, that was all made up to have an excuse ready in case he didn't play well for the playoffs.
Oh, jeez.
But why didn't he have the surgery yet if there's a torn meniscus?
It's been, what, a month?
Yeah.
It's a short offseason. It's what, 3.5 months total?
And I told you the story about Jahlil Okafor where they found same exact wording, minor meniscus tear, and it cost him half of one season, and he wasn't right for the next season for a long time.
I don't know.
There's just weirdness that surrounds
doesn't
us.
Doesn't this feel like a weird offseason so far? It's young. It's fresh. There's plenty of time left, but it kind of feels a little weird, doesn't it?
Is silence weird? I mean, that's basically what it's been, is silence. Is that weird? What do we expect? Do we expect, I don't know, Joel Embiid to come out and say, yeah, I'm waiting on surgery, but they haven't told me
I mean,
yet,
when a hockey season ends, not to compare them to hockey players, but you see a list of 7 or 8 surgeries the following week for everybody on the team that's been playing through injury. Like, what's the point in waiting? Unless you're getting a second opinion and you're searching.
That doesn't take a month.
Yeah, it doesn't, but like, unless you're searching for the answers you want to hear.
Yeah, I just don't understand any.
It just feels like a very strange offseason so far.
I go back to I forget what injury it was with Embiid, you know, something, and we didn't hear, and we didn't hear, and we didn't hear. And then, like, that night or the next night, Kawhi Leonard goes out. No, it wasn't Kawhi Leonard. It was somebody else. Another star player in this league. It was Kevin Durant. Went out, hurt his foot, and by morning, we knew what was what.
Yeah.
And he will have surgery tomorrow. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, why are injuries so weird around here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it. Like, nobody is going to hold it against you that a player got injured.
No, it's out
it's
of
part of
control.
Sports.
Yeah.
It's absolutely part of sports. Pat, does the silence from the Sixers concern you more than if they were out talking to us?
No, not really. This organization just annoys me. So they're in a no-win situation with me. If they talk, it's going to piss me off. If they don't, the Joel Embiid injury thing is very puzzling to me. I wrote something on the website about it. It's just, what the hell's going on? The fact that we haven't had an update, the fact they're so secretive. It's been like this since Sam Hinkie was in charge with we're reevaluating 3 weeks. It's ridiculous. I'm not looking for complete and utter transparency like the Eagles have given us through, you know, Jeff McClain, but I mean, give me something. And the fact that he's walking around Margate and you know, doing God knows what. But we haven't heard an update of her surgery for torn meniscus for their best player. That's a joke. Like, just give me something. Tell me it happened. Tell me it didn't. But put my mind at ease.
It was kind of my biggest fight down there when I was down there was, what? There's nothing wrong with injuries. I mean, it sucks for the player. It sucks for the team, for the fans, sure, for the organization. Nobody likes injuries. But you're not at fault when somebody incurs them.
No.
It's sports. That's what happens. Guy goes down. Guy tore a meniscus. We're getting surgery. He's out 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I don't know why this has been so secretive.
I don't know. This offseason is just all. And look, we're entering a week where a lot could happen. Thursday night's the draft. I think free agency opens the following Tuesday or Wednesday. So it's going to be a very active period coming up, and it just feels like a strange offseason so far.
Yeah, so...
And it's only been a month, but...
The more things change, the more they stay the same?
Kinda. Maybe I was hoping things would be a little different with Daryl here and, you know, his new boss that he brought in. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange, but... That's where we are with your Philadelphia 76ers. No news is confusing news.
Yeah, so maybe they didn't talk. Maybe they did talk. Who knows? Either way, the fact that it's a storyline is weird. And Joel Embiid not having surgery yet or not hearing anything, also kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't get it. Citadel, building strength together, online at citadelbanking.com. So... To get back to the Phillies, a great, great win last night with McCutchen's three-run walk-off home run. For those of you that may have turned it off when it got to be 4-0, when Spencer Howard got the blister on his finger and needed to come out, what a great performance by the bullpen. They come in and hold. I mean, 4-0 is 4-0, but to hold it there is huge. Give up a run late to make it 5. Hoskins hits a home run, makes it 4-3. They give up a run late, the Phillies do, to make it 5-3. And then McCutchen comes up in the bottom of the ninth, hits the three-run homer to win the game. But, Pat, if they're going to need help in something, and we talked about it pretty boisterously in the 6 o'clock hour,
to put it.
Where do you think they need the help?
I think for the last 2 months, it's been like bullpen, 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 get a closer, go out there, get a closer. I think they have to prioritize starting pitching more than anything. Vince Velasquez trotting him back out there. Spencer Howard's now injured. You're going to workouts for Cole Hamels. Like, you need to... If they're going to go get one thing, and they've looked at center fielders, and they've looked at relief pitchers, and they've looked at closers, they should be looking hard at the starting pitching market, because they're not going to do anything without starting pitching. And with Sir Anthony Dominguez reportedly looking to come back in August, that could be really your trade deadline acquisition, is getting him back. Apparently, he's hitting 92 to 93 now. He's working his way back, so... that could be looked at as your trade deadline move in the bullpen. They need probably two starting pitchers.
Yeah.
And that's alarming in a lot of ways, but it's where we are, unfortunately, where we're sitting here, you know, asking for Mark Appel, who's 30 years old at AAA with a 4.5 ERA, because he's just something different. So they need to go out there and address that more than anything. Center fielder can wait. I think relief help can actually wait, but... If you're going to make one move, it's got to be for a starting pitcher.
I couldn't agree more because of this reasoning, Jamie. You have options for closers. You don't have options for starters. Like Ranger Suarez, maybe he's a decent closer. It's an option that you have. Spencer Howard can't be a starting pitcher anymore. He goes through a lineup two times, or goes through a lineup, I should say, and he's had unbelievable success. I think opposing hitters I saw last night are 0 for 21 with like 11 strikeouts against him in the first inning last night. He has success when you have options for closers. You don't have options for starters. You don't.
I mean, you don't have options for either. They're about to set the franchise record for most blown saves in a year. That doesn't make you feel good. I can't count on Sir Anthony Dominguez being an acquisition to this team. I mean, what Pat just said is exactly why they should be in on a Rich Hill type of move. Something that costs you nothing, that's an improvement, and we probably do need two pitchers brought in here. You're not going to be a playoff team with the way this rotation is set up, so get cracking. And to pass up on Rich Hill, when, you know, his points are exactly why I was so confused about why we were arguing earlier. You need a lot of help. You need a bullpen arm. You at least need one starting pitcher. Like, you're not going to be sellers, so you might as well buy. And you probably need two starting pitchers.
But, again, devil's advocate, but the things that you're saying, they equate to being sellers. You can't get one or two quality starters. You can't get a closer. You can't get relief. You can't get all those things that are going to make you a contender.
Sure
Do you think you can?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, Rich Hill. Look, I'm not. I don't mean to die on Rich Hill. He went for a low class A player in Tommy Hunter. He makes minimal money. It was a move that is a no-brainer to make when you have three pitchers that are incapable of getting you past three innings. You can't keep taxing the bullpen night after night after night and expecting to make the playoffs. You need guys that can give you five or six innings, and you need two of them. And you need them now, and you needed them last week, and you needed them as soon as Zach Eflin hit the IL. Like, time is not of the, time is of the essence. They don't have time to delay this anymore. Like, you're in or you're out. Get off the pot or do it.
Or do what, Jamie?
Yeah, the doo-doo.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a great conversation because we've all talked about it all week long, a couple of weeks. All right, you got to get this, you got to get that. You are only 3.5 out.
You don't have to wait to the deadline. You don't.
Exactly.
This just in.
Yeah.
Other teams will trade people today, tomorrow, and probably Thursday. Today's Tuesday. Friday.
Yeah. No, exactly. So do it.
So make two moves. Prioritize what you need, whether it's two starters, one starter, one bullpen arm. Do something. Look alive. Show a pulse. Act like there's a division up for grabs.
Yeah. Is there a guy out there that makes you better than the team that I've
almost
labeled as a
500? Anyone does.
Yeah. So that's the question we're throwing out there. 610-632-0975. Do you sell? Do you buy? Where is this team right now? 3.5 games is not an insurmountable lead by any means. And as Pat correctly pointed out earlier, a Mets team that's hurting. A Mets team that's kind of, I don't want to say desperate, but certainly isn't head and shoulders above anybody in this division and is what a weak division. Does it take just a move or two, as minimal as it may seem, not a huge needle mover, but as minimal as it may seem, is that what you go out and get? Or as I referenced earlier, and a lot of people feel this way, not just Marcus Hayes, and I'm not throwing him out there in particular, but Marcus Hayes tweeted something last night that caught my eye where he said, Andrew McCutchen's value is never going to be higher. Sell, sell, sell. There's people that have that train of thought right now, that if you're going to be decent in the future with this team, you have to build that farm system.
You do, but you also need to compete at the same time.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's a definitive answer here.
I do. I think you haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years.
Is that a burp?
No. You haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
How much longer can you look towards the future when you're not building the foundation? Like, there's only, there's a breaking point.
There is.
And it's now.
Okay.
I spent all this money. If I'm John Middleton, I'm going, I bought Bryce Harper. I bought JT. I bought Didi. You have the fifth highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah. No, you make a good case. And I think people that say on the sell side also make a case to think about.
To think about, but no.
You wouldn't do it. But
not even close.
Yeah, but, farm system, farm system, farm system. You're a 500 team. You're getting non-needle movers because this season is one of those that maybe you can grab. Okay, all right, let's take it deeper. What's going to happen if you do get to the playoffs?
It doesn't. I don't. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it, as my mother always says.
Well, you might. You're probably going to go to
a World
quarter
Series.
No, you're going to pay the toll and then have to turn around and go back because you're done.
But again, I don't think you have to give up a lot.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah, like,
I mean, who cares?
Who the hell cares if you
playoffs
have to pay the toll and go right back? I just want the playoffs. I haven't had it in a decade.
Okay,
I don't
that's
care
fine
if they get swept or whatever. They got swept in 2007, but the ride was awesome.
Okay, and then next year you're going to be a 500 team again.
Well, ideally not.
Yeah.
No, ideally not. Yeah.
I mean, you could have made the same exact argument in 2007.
I would want.
What?
You could have made the same argument in 2007. They hadn't made the playoffs in years.
2007, they were an up-and-coming team with some great young talent.
You can make the same... look, and I think that I agree with everything you said, but they have...
Please don't tell me you could say the same thing about this team.
Never mind.
No, say, Pat, don't act like that.
No, just I'm not acting like that. I'm just...
you know what, never
you
mind.
Could have made the same point in 2007.
Sellers or buyers, that's what you got to figure out. John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll be right back. Time at The Fanatic, 651.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Morning show, John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, Coach Eric Camille, filling in for John, who is taking pictures, showing us what we're going to be doing when we go to Vegas in October for the Eagles game. Looks like he's having some fun out there in the 100-degree heat, Jamie.
Yeah, it does look fun. That's going to be an amazing trip. It really is.
Should be fun. I think we'll have a good time. It's not hard to have fun out in Vegas.
No, it's not.
No, you can kind of find it rather easily. But 7 a.m. hours brought to you by my sports book of choice, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. Download at parxcasino.com/PA and promo code Fanatic. So, Jamie, Pat had a pretty neat statement yesterday that raised a lot of eyebrows, perked a lot of ears. And I kind of liked it. I liked that he said Travis Fulgham may have close to 1,000 receiving yards, thinks he's in for a big year.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
I like Pat's guts. I like that he throws out there something that a lot of people probably haven't thought of. So I ask you guys now to make a gutsy call. Eagles go into camp today. They meet. They get on the field tomorrow. Nick Sirianni's, Annie's first training camp with the team. Is there a prediction out there for a player, James? And Pat, I'll go back to you to see if you might have another one that might be
hot.
I don't want to
lukewarm.
But I don't want you to say something that you don't
warning.
Believe. Is there something?
This is a hot take alert.
Maybe microwave something that you don't. Warm. Maybe something that people wouldn't think of that you truly believe in. You can generalize a little bit.
I don't think it's something that far off because he's had a great career. I think Zach Ertz is going to contribute in a fairly large way again. I think,
give me fairly large.
700 yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Wow. 700 yards?
Yeah, like 650, 700.
So that's about 60 catches.
Yeah, probably.
That's a really good. So is he your number one receiving tight end?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think.
Is it a good thing or not?
Because I think there's going to be a lot of balls to go around this year. I think they're going to spread it around. I think Goddard's still going to have a role in the offense, but I think Ertz, I think he'll be all right.
Well, if Zach Ertz is your leading tight end receiver, that maybe that's not by design. I'm just questioning, like, because
you think
Goddard's
it's time for Goddard
probably your number one tight end, I would assume.
Until proven otherwise, right? Like, I mean, you have to give Ertz the benefit of the doubt that he was hurt last year. He probably lost a step, but, you know, guys can adjust. He can adjust. He can have a better quarterback this year than he had last year. I mean, there was a lot of things stacked against him last year, and I thought it was, you know, 100% he was going to be traded. So
right.
I'm shocked he's back here, but I think he'll play the right part. I still think he's a good, serviceable player. So I expect him to bounce back. And a tight end is always a rookie quarterback's best friend.
Oh, yeah, that's their pacifier.
So, there's I don't think Goddard's going to disappear by any means, but I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of balls going to tight ends this year.
All right, Pat. Jamie had response to your Travis Fulgham yesterday. What do you have to that, to Zach Ertz maybe being your number one receiving tight end?
I mean, when you say Travis Fulgham's going to hit 1,000 yards, that's not going to get any hotter than that.
That is scorching.
I will go with Jordan Mailata has a Pro Bowl season.
Wow. He is coming in hot on the
Warning. Ears. This is a hot take alert.
So you think, we talked about this last week when John was saying that he thought that Dillard would have every opportunity as a number one pick to win that spot, and might even win it if he wasn't playing better than Mailata. You think Mailata comes out of camp, no doubt about it, it's his job?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't take the job. I mean, Dillard, just something about him, even before the injury, that just didn't really seem to be meshing well. I mean, crying after fights. I've never seen a training camp practice fight turn into more than a training camp practice fight.
Right.
Every single media member that we had on kept bringing that up to the point where it was like reading into a Schefter comment where obviously red flags were going off. Something was more there. But I don't think he's better than Mailata. I'm very high on Mailata, though. I've always been pretty high on Mailata. So I think he only continues to get better. He's only been playing football for 3 years?
Yeah.
4 years?
Yeah.
It's a very hot take because of other left tackles in the NFC. No, I think he'll be good, but to be a Pro Bowler, it's going to take a lot.
If he's a Pro Bowl alternate, he's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Yeah. And if three guys decide they don't want to play, Pat's going to be right. So,
there's a reason
that
I didn't say all pro. There's a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like Trent Brown or Trent Williams and David Bakhtiari are still out there. You know, there's some heavy hitters ahead of them.
Pro Bowl.
So my prediction coming into this training camp for the season is that Miles Sanders will be, I hesitate by saying far and wide, by a good margin, will be your best offensive player. I think he will carry a load this year that none of us really saw. I'm going to say close to 1,500 yards combined.
Well, I said 800 yards rushing and 600 receiving the other day for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be that. I think he's going to be a big play guy. I think Nick Sirianni is going to put him in positions that give him open field looks, that swinging out of the backfield. Like you said earlier, Jamie, Jalen Hurts loves to throw to the backs.
He's got a nice ball.
He does when
he's throwing to the running backs.
And that's something we haven't seen in a couple of years. Carson Wentz,
his demise, and the
downfall of him, I think it started with the short balls and balls to backs out of the backfield, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was throwing them down at Sanders. Look, it wasn't all Sanders had a drop issue last year. I think it was compounded by the placement of balls he was getting thrown. There was a lot of times it was on his back hip where it'd have to be a difficult catch. Me and John have had this debate before. Some down at the knees. They just weren't in good positions. And I think Jalen Hurts, he might struggle with those deeper balls, and he doesn't have the arm strength of a Wentz. But I think he has the precision close in where it's going to benefit the tight ends and the running backs a lot.
Yeah. So I don't think many players will publicly question Nick Sirianni in training camp. Like, I don't think they're going to come out and say, wow, you know, we're doing some different things. Everybody's going to be gung-ho. That's the way you are with the new coach. But do you want the players to say anything about him that would really make you feel good? Like, are you looking for anything to come out of players' mouths or maybe other people's mouths about Nick Sirianni going into this training camp? Like, what are your biggest questions about him that you wouldn't mind hearing guys answer early on? Is there anything, James, that sticks out to you?
No, nothing really jumps out to me because I don't really put too much stock in press conferences. I don't really put too much stock in what players say because they have to say the right things. It's rare you get somebody that says something
sure.
Salacious or anything.
Yeah, and we don't anticipate that even a little
bit. No, and I do think there's probably a genuine excitement to start anew. So I think it's going to be glowing for the first. There's going to be a honeymoon phase here with Nick and his players. I think it'll get tested once they get in season and things get difficult. But I think for the first at least month of the season and training camp included in that, it's a honeymoon period. So I'm not going to put too much stock in what anybody says.
See, I do want to hear something.
What?
And I want to hear offensive players, and I'm hoping it's like a Jason Kelce or Lane Johnson.
Play design or something like
just
that.
Just saying, wow, this is a lot different than we're used to. And it's, you know, I want to hear like crispness. I want to hear that the options are all over the place. I just want to hear, because I think we all got, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, Pat, I think we all got kind of stale with Doug Peterson, even though it was only a few years. I think it got a little bit stale. I think the players...
So stale last year.
You pointed out to Lane Johnson in Green Bay, saying, no, whoa, whoa, let's go, let's run the ball. To the players wanting to do something, I would love to hear players come out and say that Nick Sirianni's just doing things a whole lot different than what they're used to.
Doug got so stubborn, so incredibly stubborn with his play calling. And part of that was probably the fact that even after wins, he was getting questioned by the owner on why he wasn't throwing the ball enough. That definitely, I think, had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's great if they come out and say all that. I remember Chip Kelly's first training camp. We heard a lot of that.
No, that's true, too.
We heard a lot of this is different. We've never had it. It was true. And they were all excited. And that goes back to the honeymoon phase that Jamie talks about that you can't put a lot of stock into. What I'll be putting stock into is the reports coming out of training camp from, you know, the Les Bowens, the Zach Bermans, the Kemskis, those types of when they actually talk to these players behind closed doors. Because if there's one thing we know about the Eagles franchise, they love to leak. I mean,
yeah,
they are a leaky ship. And if there's anything going bad in that Novik Air complex, we'll probably hear about it eventually.
Well, the sad thing is we won't be hearing it from a Les Bone. We won't be hearing it from a Paul Domowicz because those guys have taken the buyout.
Have we?
I was about to say, do you really think that we won't ever hear from him again?
God, no. I don't think that at all. I wonder what they're going to do. I wonder if those guys are going to go down there and hopefully keep their hands involved in something and so on. You had a great idea yesterday that you were going to fund the Daily News and get a whole bunch of sports writers back together, and Pat Egan was going to fund it and be publisher of new Daily News sports section.
Just get the URL for PhiladelphiaDailyNews.com.
Just get the old gang back, right?
And then just, that's it, get the band back together.
So I guess they'll be doing media scrums outside, probably no locker room access again.
There was something that came out last night. Did you see this, Pat? I thought there was something on social media last night that said they would be doing outside meeting. I should have marked it down, but I didn't. I thought maybe one of you guys might have seen it. I thought that there was something that came up about how they're going to handle media during training camp that seemed like more back to normal.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I saw something, either that or I don't know, dreamt it or something like that. But I hope so. I miss the days of going up to Lehigh. I miss the players coming off the field and getting grabbed by reporters and, you know, fresh thoughts right then and there, fans being able to shake hands with. I mean,
I just miss Lehigh.
It was
cool.
I think that's why training camp has lost a little of its luster.
Absolutely.
To fandom.
It's at the NovaCare Center. It doesn't feel the same. No. I've been down every year. I usually go twice. It just doesn't feel the same.
There's something to a camp vibe.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking. So, Pat, did you ever go to camp when you were a little kid?
No, I never got the lure of camp.
Really?
Yeah.
NFL camp.
Yeah, and I know I'm in the minority, but I never really got the attraction of driving 2 hours to watch practice. But once again, I know I'm in the minority, and I know that was special for a lot of people growing up and getting close to the players. And for a lot of families out there who couldn't afford tickets, that was your game.
Sure.
Did you mean him going to camp?
Well, I was going to say, if you had gone to camp,
like a basketball camp,
yeah,
or a
like
summer
I
camp
used to go
or,
to, I used to go to camp up in the Poconos for a week, a sleepover camp. I think there's something special.
Yeah,
about
no, wait, no,
like a bonding.
There
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I went to hockey camp.
Yeah, okay.
It didn't work, but it was fun.
What do you mean it didn't work?
It didn't. I mean, I'm trash and on the ice.
Come on,
my
Pat.
Teammates will tell you that.
Word is going around far and wide that you are not trash.
That I'm a bitch. But yeah, no, that was a blast. I looked forward to that every year.
Yeah, there is something. There's a camaraderie built when you're at camp.
I wonder if a player was honest with himself. Now, look, if Lane Johnson's, if I'm going to ask him, hey, you'd rather be here? Would you rather be up at Lehigh? I think 10 out of 10 players are going to say, are you kidding me?
Their own bed,
I get to go to practice
house.
And go home.
Yeah, of course.
But I wonder if there's anybody that would admit how good of a bonding experience or something.
I bet maybe it
wasn't. I don't know.
Do any of them remember it, though?
Yeah,
I don't think there's anybody on the team
Kelsey,
that.
Brandon Graham. Right?
How long have they been doing it? Has it been like more than 5 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Has it really?
Yeah.
I think it's been about 5.
Wow. Did Andy take it out of Lehigh?
No, I think it wasn't a Chip.
I thought it was Chip. I knew Chip at that point had been done, but.
Because it was the first thing that Chip did that ticked me off, that made me wonder about him, I should say. I was like, why are you doing this? Why?
No, not at all.
why are you not understanding the fan base? I do remember that. So, yeah, we're talking about probably about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Chip would say, well, I'm doing what's best for my players and, you know, getting them in our building with our technologies, you know, sleeping at home in their own beds where they're comfortable. You know, I mean, you could make the case very easily that it's better for the players.
How much of this has to do, too, with the fact that camp was always open? And I'm going deep in this, but camp was always open. How many franchises sent out scouts to watch opposing teams open training camps?
Probably, right?
So you get into your NovaCare complex where you don't have an open camp, which sucks for the fans, but keeps a little secrecy because, look, Chip Kelly's first year, we didn't know what the hell that offense was going to be. And that first night against Washington, they came out guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have had that had they had open practice at Lehigh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do, and organizations are doing this around the NFL. They're having these closed training camps, and I think the secrecy of it, probably because the Patriots like to film teams doing stuff, but I think that's something to do with it.
Yeah, oh, no question about it. I set my life, I don't want to sound real weird here because you guys already know how weird I am, but I don't want to say I set my life to sports, but the time framing of life with me often surrounds sports, okay? So when the Eagles would go to Lehigh, I knew it was about time to get my kids ready to go to school. You know, like that was coming up. It was, all right, we got to prepare, got to get stuff ready for them.
Yeah.
Summer's kind of coming to a close. You know, the Masters, the Final Four, that means that spring is coming, winter's over. All of those things, that's how I go about my life. The fact that Eagles training camp was taken away, it messed me up. Like, it messed me up. It's just, we know they're going to camp tomorrow, but it's almost like this NBA draft. You know it, but you don't really know it.
Yeah, this NBA draft's a weird one. Like they're in the building, but it doesn't feel like camp. You know what I mean? It just feels like practice.
They're going to YMCA camp. They're not going to overnight camp.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see video of Sirianni out there coaching these guys or us being able to go up there and watch him coach these guys. I think you get a lot out of it. I still remember, you know, we'd be standing on the sideline as reporters up at Lehigh, and the truck would roll up, and there's Andy Reid and handed his list of what the day's practice was about. It was like, boom, there's the presence. Boss is here. Yeah. Time to work. You know, and that was pretty cool. Did I ever tell you I got yelled at Eagles training camp one time?
Yeah,
by the
took
Eagles?
A knee. What were you thinking?
Yeah, Pat, did I tell you, did you hear this story?
No.
So we're at Eagles camp, and I think it was like my third straight day up there. And, you know, typical 100-degree day, and there's no trees, anything like that. Well, you guys know I have a little bit of a bad back. And I guess it was bothering me that day, and it started to spasm up. So I went to a knee to try to stretch it a little
like
bit.
Like a bitch.
And, yeah, exactly. And I didn't break my toe. And immediately a PR guy comes over. Bob, Andy says, you need to stand up. And I was like, all right, man, I have a kink in my back. I'm just stretching it out for one second. Yeah, you need to stand up or you got to get off the sideline.
That's such a hard-o move.
It really is.
And forget me. How about when,
like, he's not the boss of you.
How about when Ray Didinger wanted to do hits?
I goofed.
At places and, you know, Hall of Famer. And Andy said no. Like, why is the control thing so important to some people?
I don't understand. This just goes to the thing where sports coaches take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you're not.
What if I was having a real health issue?
Yeah.
What if the guy came over and said, Bob, Andy needs you to stand up? And I said, yeah, I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah. How about, hey, are you all right? Can I get you some water?
Yeah.
You know, something like checking on you.
Exactly.
Did the PR guy realize how stupid it was?
Because you can usually tell when they don't believe
it. Yeah.
I honestly, God, that's a great question, Pat. I think what it was they were so, they've probably done it so many times that they were just like, yeah, okay, I got it, and had to go over and say it.
Now, in that case, then I wonder if Andy actually saw it or if the PR guy saw it.
Probably, but yeah, it's probably he meant to say Andy's rule is you're not allowed to take a knee here. You know? I don't know. Whatever. That was one of the stranger and one of my memories of camp. That and Donovan McNabb one time was on a rollout and threw a ball. And I think I was standing either with Les Bowen or Sam, now somebody from the paper. And he threw a ball and he ran out of bounds and he was running past us to go back into play. And he stopped and he goes, hey, man, Daily News Live, good show.
Andy said that?
No, Donovan.
Oh, Donovan.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I was kind of like, What?
Yeah, so do you guys remember, and I don't remember his name, this is the weirdest training camp story that I can remember. There was a wide receiver who left camp, and then he was doing a workout in his driveway. And all of the news stations went to his driveway to film it. And he was doing a workout, like a private workout, because he left camp. Do you guys remember that?
I was there the next day. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was Billy McMullen.
Yeah, it was.
Might have been Thomas DePay. I might be getting my positions wrong.
Yeah, no,
sure it wasn't Marvin McNutt.
It was Gonzo Williams, wasn't it?
It definitely wasn't Marvin McNutt.
No,
because he was trying to make the team at the time.
It wasn't Gonzo Williams either. You remember Gonzo Williams?
No,
that's probably
I remember the name, but not.
So he was a kick returner from like the CFL. I think Buddy Ryan got him or something. The guy was like 5'3".
Wait, are you talking about Gizmo Williams?
What did I say?
Gonzo.
Oh, Gizmo.
Come on, man. What did you say? Gizmo. Gonzo.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, that was another. There's so many great stories to tell about Eagles of the past, and like what the hell was that guy doing here? And
Hollis Thomas used to roll up with a big box of porn and SpongeBob DVDs.
I'm sorry, really?
What?
Yeah, are you serious?
Yeah.
What a combination.
Yeah, SpongeBob and porn.
Did he have a roommate?
Was it like a fetish of like SpongeBob porn or SpongeBob? Comma porn.
One was
SpongeBob.
Yeah, one was downtime, one was uptime, you know what I mean?
Yeah, one was for the daytime, one was for the nighttime.
Exactly.
All right, so Pat, you have some worries about the Eagles and where a draft pick may or may not fall.
I'm worried about some of these guys not remembering their big box of porn.
Because of the actions of a former Eagle. What do you got
I think a lot of the Eagles fans out there, myself included, are just expecting them to have three first-round picks because you're expecting Carson Wentz to play 75% of the snaps, and you're expecting Carson Wentz to have a bounce-back season.
He's going
to
do it.
Where he leads the Colts to probably the playoffs in a weak division. But, and I got to give credit to Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice. He tweeted this out. Carson Wentz was pictured going into the Colts facility, and he was wearing a mask. And masks have kind of become, I don't want to say a scarlet letter, but for lack of a better term, like the scarlet letter for people that haven't been vaccinated, because most of the rules in this country with facilities are if you're unvaxxed, you have to wear a mask. And Kemsky posed the question of, could this hinder the Eagles' chances of getting a first-round pick? Because if he ends up contracting COVID because of this, he's going to end up missing time. He's going to end up probably missing the 75% snap threshold. They probably could be a worse team. And it's not a guarantee that he actually does lead them to the playoffs. So what's your cause for concern about the fact that Carson Wentz not being vaccinated could potentially bite the Eagles in the ass with getting a third first-round pick? Or am I just...
Wouldn't that just be a kick in the...
Am I just like making too much out of this?
No, I mean,
well,
it's certainly a possibility.
Too much out of stuff.
Ability, yeah. But 75%, so that would mean 17 games, he'd have to miss what? A little over 4 games?
Yeah.
Even if he was to catch it and contract it and be, you know, quarantined.
Well, keep in mind, it's not just because of the COVID, right? The COVID would be, okay, game, maybe two.
Yeah, that's
but
what
this
I'm
is
saying.
Also a guy who has a history of well, that's, not finishing
that, yeah,
seasons.
That's different than the mask vaccination issue. I can't see him missing more than 4 games, even if he caught COVID. Could you?
You wouldn't think so, but, you know, like Alec Boehm apparently had it. Right, Alec Boehm had it pretty good and missed a week. I mean, that is baseball compared to close to 2 weeks.
It was like 12 days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking football, physical sport, a lot more than baseball. It would take
a lot for him to miss, because it's probably like 4 games and a quarter now. You know, whatever, but 17 games,
right.
25%.
Yeah. But if he takes that too, like Pat said, a guy with an injury history, that, you almost have to account for at least 2 more because he's going to hurt something.
That's kind of my thought process here is, could not necessarily the COVID cost them the pick, but could the COVID be the quote-unquote injury that puts him over the hump of missing time? Because I'm kind of expecting him to be banged up a little bit, although they do have a good offensive line. But yeah, could we be sitting here 10 months from now saying if he had just gotten vaccinated, we'd probably have a first-round
pick? Well, 2016, he was 16-for-16. The following year was 13-for-13, so he missed 3 games. Following year, he was 11-for-11. That was the year they won the Super Bowl. He missed 5 with a shredded knee. Next year, 16-for-16. And then 12-for-12 last year before he got benched. So,
yeah, fingers crossed.
I mean,
I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I think said he's going to be comeback player of the year.
I'm going to bet him for that. For sure. Yeah. I mean, he's got a great offense. A local kid, Jonathan Taylor, at running back, who's one of the more exciting young backs in the
league.
Kid
from Home Improvement?
Yeah. He's got weapons. He's got a great defense with him. So, I mean, they're a playoff team without him. So, yeah, I'm going to take his odds for comeback player of the year. He's probably going to be a top 5 or 6 odds guy for that.
It's going to be interesting. Lowe's, great values are happening now during Lowe's Pro Summer Savings. Get values across the store, including tools, appliances, and other pro essentials. Lowe's, the new home for pros. All right, we got a lot coming up. We'd love to hear from you. 610-632-0975. Big Phillies win last night. Where do you stand, buyers or sellers? I'm kind of on the fence. I hear both sides of the argument, and I understand them both. So let us know what you like there. What do you want to come out of Eagles training camp? What are you looking for? What would you like to see? Maybe something outlandish. What's your prediction? Much along the lines of Travis Fulgham going for 1,000 yards. I love that Pat threw that out there. Maybe that's something you want to do. And Jamie has a question coming up about who may be standout players this year for your Philadelphia Eagles. It's the John Kincaid Show. Time at the Fanatic is 7:22.
Phillies won last night on a huge walk-off home run from Andrew McCutchen, but you could have won on the home run from Rhys Hoskins if you were on BetMGM. They have a great offer right now for new customers. If you sign up and you register using the code PATEGAN100 and you bet $1 on either the Phillies or Nationals, when the first home run is hit, you end up getting $100 in free bets. So when Rhys Hoskins launched that ball, boom, you were a winner. But not to worry, they have the same offer today. So if you missed out on last night, you can cash in today. But you have to go to BetMGM.com. You have to download the app. You have to register using the code PATEGAN100. And then you have to bet $1. 4 quarters, 10 dimes, whatever it is, but you have to bet it on either the Phillies or Nationals. And when they hit a home run, which is pretty much a guarantee nowadays, then boom, you're going to end up having $100 in free bets in your account regardless of if you win your actual bet. And then you're going to see the innovative parlay selection builders they have, their boosted odds specials, their daily promotions. Look, the Olympics is going on. Cheer on Team USA, but also win money on them with BetMGM. They're the king of sportsbooks for a reason. It's a new customer offer. It's paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
No picking on Egan this week. John Kincaid Show. John is on vacation. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the wonderful coach Eric Camille. If you call, we got Connor Thomas answering your phones. And of course, Heavy Chevy Mike is ruling the YouTube page. So we did have a cancellation today. And a lot of people are up in arms about it and very disappointed. It's almost like, Pat, you can relate to this. When you're getting ready for a huge UFC fight, right?
Yeah.
Weekend. And then on Wednesday, somebody backs out. Or Thursday, somebody backs out because
happens all the time.
It does, right? And it's like a gut punch, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. Especially when you're really looking forward to that particular fight.
Yeah.
When somebody pulls out with an injury, sometimes the injury is questioned.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you have to get medical staff on board to define the legitimacy of it.
Usually the person probably calls the person who's pulling out a certain word.
Yeah.
You know, question.
It's been
question
thrown around.
Bit.
It's been thrown around. So what was canceled?
I saw.
What was canceled today was Pat and Jamie were going to have a 40-yard dash. It was Egan versus Lynch. We even started to put together last night a tale of the tape between the two for this much-hyped event.
Not really hyped at all.
It kind of was.
I don't know, man. There were a lot of votes.
It was all the talk in the Cooney household. I know that.
Well, it's still going to happen.
So what happened, for those that haven't heard, didn't hear earlier, was I got a text from Jamie Lynch yesterday that said, I think I just legit broke my toe. Doesn't look like there's going to be a race tomorrow. So I just took the assumption that Jamie was going to text his foe, text his opponent, and let him know of his withdrawal status.
You were the judge, so I just alerted you. I was hopeful I was going to wake up this morning and it wasn't going to bother me, but it still hurts. So
first of all, like, so, bitch.
Jamie was walking to the pool, pulling his daughter along in her extravagant wagon, walking to the pool.
Real quick, the extravagant wagon that I trash picked in South Philadelphia.
No, it's a Tesla.
Yeah.
It's the Tesla of wagons.
Yes, yeah.
And he hit his foot on an uneven concrete barrier and excruciating pain followed.
Like a bitch.
And it means that the race between Jamie and Pat has been postponed. Now, we can put it in Pat's corner. If Pat so chooses not to do this race anymore, seeing as you backed out, I think he has that right.
Wow, that's intriguing.
That would be way more of a coward move than me asking for a postponement.
Now, people on YouTube channel are asking for Jamie to race said foot, knowing that you have flip-flops on, and show the toe for proof that there is, in fact, injury on this toe.
You foot perverts, you.
There is somebody that works on this show that did question the lack of an injured toe.
And who might that have been, Patrick?
It would be one Coach Camille.
I don't understand why I would lie about this.
Now you're getting offended, and you know
I'm not offended.
Around.
Just, jeez,
now you're making me think you're guilty of fraud.
Yeah, I'm faking it so I can get myself in a trash bag and train for the next week. Get the hell out of here. You know me. I'm not training for anything.
I'm gonna go get a
50 pack of Chick-fil-A nuggets or Wendy's nuggets. A couple double IPAs, and that's gonna be my training.
Can we go to Coach now so we can drag you some more?
Okay.
I want to believe Jamie. I really, really do.
Because I'm such a liar. You guys know me.
And that's the reason why. Because Jamie's not a liar. I mean, he's just not. But it's just too much of a coincidence. Just way,
believe
way too
me,
much.
As soon as it happened, I went, you've got to be kidding me.
I said earlier that I am taking Jamie's side on this in the belief section. He did text me. It was midday. It was right as he was probably. You might have texted me from the pool.
I was after when I got home, but yeah.
Oh,
shortly
okay.
After.
So you started really feeling the pain.
Well, I was like swimming, and I was like, oh, it doesn't feel too bad. And then I started walking home on it, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll happen. Don't worry.
It'll happen. It looks like it's going to happen next week. We are not going to do it at FanFest, as even though many people are clamoring for it, because Jamie's going to be doing a whole bunch of other fun stuff at FanFest.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens there. But tomorrow is the start. Tomorrow they actually get out on the field. You are
pads
Philadelphia
on.
Eagles, and they will be out there under first-year coach Nick Sirianni.
Not if they stubbed their toe.
Well,
I would hope they get it treated.
Hopefully all toes are kept inside of nice padded shoes starting for tomorrow. But Jamie has an idea or a question about who may stick out on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, and it is a linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I was thinking last night, it's entering the year. You know, it's always fun to think about who's going to be the guys that carry each unit. Who's going to be the offensive and defensive MVPs of this team? And if you had to make a preseason prediction right now on the start of training camp, who would your offensive and defensive MVP predictions going to be? Because mine, I think the offensive one is a bit salacious.
Really?
I'm going with the rookie, Devontae Smith.
Wow. Well, all right, let me ask you this question. I'm serious here. If he is your offensive MVP, does that mean it's a good offensive team?
Not necessarily. They should be. I thought you were going to say, does it make Jalen Hurts?
No.
He had a really good year. Because you would think that it does, right? And if Jalen Hurts has a good year, it's hard to give the award to Devontae Smith. But I think he's going to be the guy that is something different this team hasn't had in a long time. And I think it's going to jump out in neon. That's how excited I am for him.
Okay.
Defensive MVP.
Let's go around and do offensive
first.
All
right, fine. Who do you got?
Pat, who do you have for your offensive MVP for the Eagles to predict this season?
Well, I already predicted that Folky to God would have 1,000 yards.
That was bold.
Hard for me to not pick Folky to God.
I'm not kidding you. I am rooting like hell for this guy.
Yeah, well, that's
the
thing. I was getting ripped on Twitter, probably rightfully so, but I responded, you're all hoping that I'm right, though. I'll actually go with Lane Johnson because I feel like for this team to have success, they're going to have a the offensive line stay intact.
Their record with him versus without him is eye-popping.
Now, obviously, you know, when you're a really good offensive lineman, that means you don't hear much from him. So I think it's going to take a couple months after the season for us to step back and realize how good of a season he had. But I think he bounces back, and I think him and the whole offensive line being healthy is an adverse effect of the offense as a whole succeeding.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miles Sanders. I think because we talk about a rookie quarterback, and we know he played 4.5 games last year, but first full season as a starter, a rookie wide receiver, as much as you correctly stated earlier, Jamie, about a tight end being that pacifier safety for a blanket, safety yeah. for a young quarterback, I think this running game and this swing game out of the backfield and getting Miles Sanders in an open field is something that's going to have to be used to open things up for the rest of the team. So I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with Miles Sanders.
So nobody took the quarterback.
No.
The MVP is typically a quarterback award. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if DeVonta Smith has a good year,
you would think Jalen Hurts had a good year.
If I think Miles Sanders is going to get a lot of yards out of the catching out of the backfield like I do, it has to be on Jalen Hurts also. So it's interesting. None of us did. How about defensive side?
I'm going to take, I guess, probably a heavyweight off the board. I think Darius Slay is going to bounce back in a big way. I think he's going to get help from the defensive line. I think he's got a new coordinator that hopefully will, you know, coordinate the defense to the favors or to the strengths of a Slay and now a Steven Nelson, as opposed to, you know, having his back to the quarterback and not being able to be somewhat of a playmaker. So hopefully he's given the ability to be the old Darius Slay. I thought he was great for the first 6 weeks last year, and then once McLeod went out, the defense kind of fell apart a little bit. So I think Darius Slay is going to bounce back in a big way and be the defensive team MVP.
Well, Pat, who you got? Mine was Darius Slay, but I guess I'll pick another one.
No, you can pick Darius. No, you
don't
can
force
say.
It. Yeah. Well, no, I'll force it. I'm used to forcing it.
Hey, ho, whoa.
No, Jesus, get your mind out of the gutter, Bobby.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
We'll go Javon Hargrave.
Oh.
I think he bounces back. I hope at least. I mean, this is more of a hope pick because they paid a lot of money for him. So I hope that he bounces back. But I think when you're matched up next to Fletcher Cox, you know, good things tend to happen because he gets so much attention. So let's hope.
I'm thinking you may have picked up a little bit of a playmaker this year. And I'm going to go with a linebacker. And I'm going to go with Eric Wilson.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about him. Watching him with Minnesota before, after the Eagles got him, watching highlights of him or all of that stuff. I just think he's somebody that's going to slide in here and it's going to be every game. Wow, he had another nice game. I don't think anybody, like I said before, and what I don't like about this defense is I think it's bereft of playmakers. So I don't think you're going to get, unless Darius Slay, and you guys are probably right, Darius Slay, if he becomes that playmaker, then yeah, he's going to be your odds-on favorite. My concern is they don't throw near him. And therefore, he's kind of silent every game, and it's hard to give a guy that's not thrown at an MVP of a defensive unit. So, yeah, well, I'm going to go with Eric Wilson.
Nandy Asamoah got a contract.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. If you're not getting thrown at, that means you're doing your job, right?
No, yeah, exactly. But, I mean,
it's not MVP jump off the page worthy, if that's the case. But
it is interesting that none of us picked defensive line.
I know, and it's probably it's their strongest unit.
I had to force it, but, you know, they had the most sacks in football last year.
And nobody said
we didn't pick him.
Fletcher Cox, who's by far and away their highest paid player.
For me, I can't speak for you guys, but it just has to do with he's constantly double teamed.
Yeah, and
but he still has a tremendous impact, even though his numbers are like the last two seasons, his sack total is what it was the previous season before that. He had 10 the year before that. The last two seasons, I think he has 9.5. So he's on a decline, hopefully Hargrave helps that out.
You know what? And this is probably wrongfully so, but you know what makes me step back from Fletcher Cox a little bit is, and I said this before, we always hear he gets double teamed and it makes it so much easier for other players. That's fine. I understand that, and that's great, and he's doing his job that way. But the really great defensive linemen get double teamed and still make plays. You know, it's not that they're just holding up offensive linemen.
Yeah.
It's that they're making plays also. And look, your numbers say he is. 9.5 sacks is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's over the last two seasons.
Oh, whoa.
It was 10 3 years ago.
And then it was like 5.5.
Yeah. So he's on a decline in terms of sack numbers.
Yeah.
But the run defense is always stellar. And he's a major reason why.
Well, let me put it to you this way. And Pat makes a great point. It's interesting we didn't say defensive line, which is their strongest. Who do you think is going to have the best year on that defensive line?
I want to say Josh Sweat.
I know you do. I know you do. You want to say really badly. He may only play 35-40% of snaps.
That's the thing. He's going to be in a rotation with Derek Barnett. BG and Ryan Kerrigan will be the other defensive end grouping. I mean, it's nice that they can go too deep at each spot.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, what wouldn't shock me is if Derek Barnett had a great year because he's in a contract year. And it's funny how guys tend to have career years before they go for that money. So it wouldn't surprise me if he had a really good year. But I want to take the long shot of Josh Sweat.
I don't hate that. Because even if he's only playing 35-40% of the snaps,
he's one of your more productive, even in minimal.
And he's in there to do one thing. And when you know you're doing one thing as a fresh player, and that's getting to the quarterback, if he does that 10, 11, 12 times, say, and that's a high, high number. But if he does that...
I think if he gets to 8 sacks, that would be a hell of a year for him.
Oh, no question. Yeah, Hargrave is your guy, Pat?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hargrave.
Okay. I kind of lean with Jamie on this. I want Derek Barnett to have a year. Everybody does. And if he doesn't, oh, my God, not again, right? That's where you are with him. He's got to have a year. But I'm kind of leaning with you on the Josh Sweat thing where I think less of him might be, even though it's going to be less of him, like I said, the percentage of snaps,
it's going to
be more of him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. That's going to be interesting.
Let's get sweaty, Bobby.
Yeah, why not?
I like him a lot. I mean, I hope I'm not blowing it up and he's going to, you know, tank and mush this year. I think the guy's been very productive in the limited opportunities he's gotten. I think he's got a chance to steal some more this year.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I have to admit, you opened my eyes to him last year.
Did you know he was the number one high school recruit, regardless of position, coming out of his high school class?
Where's he
from? I did.
Is he Pittsburgh area? Where's he
Florida.
From?
Florida.
Oh, he is from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. I
just remember hearing that when they drafted him.
Number one position. Player, regardless of position.
Yeah.
So he's got the pedigree.
I think Dorial Green Beckham was like the number two. So.
He was the number one. Yeah, he was the number one.
Number one, number two. One of the,
that was cool.
So what does it all really mean?
And the Titans won that deal for Dennis Kelly.
610-632-0975. It's all on the board today. We're talking about Eagles. What do you think going into camp starting tomorrow? Great win by the Phillies last night on a McCutchen 3-run homer in the bottom of the 9th inning. Are you sellers? Are you buyers? Both Jamie and Pat want to buy. You're only 3.5 games out. The Mets aren't that formidable team that you just can't catch. They certainly have proven that they are catchable. So why not do that? On the other end of the spectrum, you have people saying, oh, no, you got to sell. You got to build up
the
farm system.
You're an idiot. You don't know baseball.
Yeah, there could be that, too. So
if you're going to sell, look, you can make the case for it. Sell it all. Don't just sell one piece. Like, if you're going to blow it up. I mean, sell McCutchen. Sell Nola for maybe something. Sell Reese. Like, don't...
Who are you talking to? You're talking to Bobby Blows It Up. Of course he knows.
Just don't
you're an idiot.
Scratch the surface to make yourself worse. If you're going to sell, sell.
No matter what, I think you got to kind of go all in. Isn't that the... I say this a lot. Isn't that the essence of sports? You got to go all in. This is my problem with the Phillies. And I've said this a month ago. What are you going to do? What are you doing? Are you doing a Nick Maton? Are you doing a Luke Williams? Are you looking at these young kids and saying, okay, that's the future? Obviously, you've given it to Alec Boehm. Are you looking at these young kids and saying, all right, we'll take our lumps, but we're going to grow these kids? Apparently not. Mickey Moniak, another one. Adam Haseley. Apparently not, because they don't have any patience with them right now. I don't know what they're doing. Then they bring up a Mickey Moniak. They brought up an Adam Haseley. And then you don't play him. Like, Pat, you and I are locking step on this, and Jamie agrees, I think, also. What good does it do him sitting here?
Well, he had one at bat last night.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Let the guy keep riding his hot bat. Let him grow down there if that's your plan. Spencer Howard on the pitching end of it. I don't know they know what they're doing there. I just don't know what this team is doing, and what concerns me more, it doesn't matter what I know, do they know what they're doing?
It seems like they're so worried about the fact that they haven't had really a prospect hit in a while. You could say Boehm hit last year. He probably should have won Rookie of the Year, but it seems like it's compounded the fact over and over and over that all these years have added up to the point where now they're deathly scared of screwing up prospects that they don't even know how to handle them. Their handling of Spencer Howard is, I mean, organizational malpractice.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, they basically, they'll give a guy 100 at-bats and then cut bait on him. They don't know where to play guys. Oh, you're a center fielder. We'll play you at third base here today and left field. I mean, we'll play you at every position that you're not accustomed to. It makes no sense. The way that they've handled prospects is probably a good reason why they don't have a farm system. Because you have a player playing one position up until, you know, all throughout the minors, and then all of a sudden they get here and it's, all right, well, we'll play you one day, but it won't be at the position you're accustomed to. And then we'll sit you for 3 days and you'll have a pinch it at bat.
Don't get it.
It makes
at
no
all.
Sense.
No, none at all. Revel is one. Revel is a one-stop shop IT service provider for any organization. For more information, visit revel.com. That's R-I-V-E-L-L.com. Revel, technology simplified. Now, Pat, we had a violation within these walls of this building yesterday. Actually, there was a couple of them, but we're only going to talk about one.
Yeah, there were a couple. But yeah.
Yeah, one might have been egregious, but this one that you're talking about wasn't so much egregious.
We're not,
just kind of annoying.
I'm not ripping Bobby bubble guts. You can't help that. And I like the person who sent the email. So this isn't anything personal. He's a great guy. But there was a lack of coffee in the communal Dunkin' coffee bar down the hall.
It is called, after all, the Dunkin' Donuts coffee bar, right, Jame?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And there was a lack of coffee. And there was an email sent out on Friday saying, hey, it is coming. Don't worry. You know, it's our fault. It's not Dunkin's. Dunkin's great. But we're in the process of getting you guys coffee. Just sit tight. So I guess somebody from one of our sister stations brought in their own coffee and left it for, you know, for the community.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid move.
But then somebody had to send out an all-staff email like praising this person for bringing in coffee. And let me just say, the reply all, the all staff, that's rough from the get-go. I don't think anybody looks forward to reply all. I think when you get a reply all, it's looked at by every single office as an eye roll.
Yeah.
But I question, like, is somebody bringing in coffee to kind of spell until we get our resupply, is that email the entire company worthy?
I didn't hate it because you're praising somebody. Like, if Pat Egan did something behind the scenes that was really nice for everybody, I don't have a problem with, say, Coach throwing out there on a group email, hey, Pat, it was Pat Egan who brought in the coffee. Thanks, Pat. No more emails. You had a problem with it.
I didn't say I had a problem with
okay.
it.
Okay.
I don't want to get called into the big boss's office about this. I'm just posing the question.
The first email's okay. It's okay. Nobody loves a reply all. The follow-up acknowledging the thank you.
Good point.
We could all do without that.
Yeah.
I don't need to clear notifications on my phone because you're acknowledging the thank you.
Now, Coach, you're a boss. And I'm not talking about Rick Ross style, like you're a legitimate boss in this company. What did you think of this?
I'm out. The reply all or the all email to the entire staff of our entire cluster. Now, you have to remember, our cluster here is 6 radio stations in this building.
It's aggressive. We're a family.
When you do the all staff email, maybe to say, hey, somebody just had a baby. Maybe somebody's, unfortunately, maybe somebody died in a family or something.
Somebody stubbed their toe.
That, yeah, I'm okay with. When you're doing the all email to every single person that works in this cluster in Philadelphia about somebody bringing in coffee, that's a violation. Complete violation. And then you get the all reply, which is even more egregious. Enough with this.
Nobody likes reply alls. Nobody.
Enough.
The only time I ever liked to reply all, and Jamie, you'll remember this. Bob, I don't think you will. But there was a situation where somebody, and this was sent to the entire company. I'm talking Philly, Boston, Detroit, Naples, Florida. And for whatever reason, the IT server was bouncing back emails every time someone replied all. And there were hundreds of reply all emails, including please take me off this list.
Yes.
And it got to the point where there was a lot of older people in the company didn't realize that you couldn't be taken off the list. And then there were the younger people who were cracking up at it and were literally just replying all to screw with everybody.
Well, somebody...
And that was hilarious.
Somebody called people idiots not realizing they were replying all.
Oh, I think they knew.
I don't think so.
I think they knew.
No? I don't know.
I think the exact words
were...
Would
you call 1,000 people idiots over email?
Well, Jamie, no, he didn't, though. He called the boomers idiots.
I wish we had a video that would teach us how to use all that thing. That would be really cool.
Yeah, videos are good.
Bummer of news in the Olympics. Simone Biles injured.
Oh, no.
Left the team competition. They're already trailing Russia, so big blow for the U.S. women's gymnastics team.
That's horrible. That's horrible. Well, the big blow that you had last night, of course, was Andrew McCutchen, 3-run homer in the bottom of the 9th. We'll come back and talk about that a little bit, but we also have some questions surrounding the Phillies like we did all morning, and I'm going to take it in a different direction. John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Time here is 7:54.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 a.m. hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Pat, you're not doing much swaying today. Not a lot of bopping coming from you today.
All my energy was spent in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah?
When the air was just taken out of the sales, finding out that I wasn't able to race today.
You're a competitive dude, and when your competition is taken from you, I can literally see the wind go out of your sails.
Yeah, God cursed me because he gave me a really competitive attitude. I hate losing, but he gave me no ability to do anything about it.
I don't think that's true.
That is very true. I was all ready. I was jacked up. I woke up today. And
you woke up?
I woke up and...
Put on the wrinkled shirt.
Put on the wrinkled shirt.
Because it's aerodynamically sound.
Oh, my God. It's, you can see it. It's the creases are perfect for just cutting through the wind.
And yeah.
To find out that my opponent not only can't go, which is unfortunate, and thoughts and prayers to him and his family, but he can't go, to find out that he didn't even have him or his team, his management, reach out and let me know. I wouldn't have worn these shoes. I'm damaging the tread on these shoes right now. The traction... It's gone. Yeah.
I think he's playing with your mind a little bit.
I think he's trying to get in the kitchen,
maybe.
Cook a meal.
Now, maybe, a lot of times, like we said in UFC, when fights are canned, they'll bring in a sub. They'll bring
sometimes
in somebody else to
yeah.
step in. Now, we did have somebody offer to do that.
Of course we did.
Connor can be my volunteer.
No, that wasn't the original bet.
Right, then you got to wait a week.
Yeah, so Connor did step up and say, now, let's not forget, this is Connor Thomas, who... Let's see. Said he could beat TJ McConnell in 1-on-1.
Yep.
Said he could bust through a hole and tackle Brian Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
Said
he could strike out Shohei Ohtani.
Said he could strike out Shohei Ohtani. Said he could feel better than Alec Bohm when we were throwing a Nerf ball around here.
Yeah.
And now he wants to take over for Jamie in your 40-yard dash.
Said he wouldn't beat Usain Bolt in a race, but would finish second.
Said he'd compete.
Said he'd be there. Yeah, he would be about a half a second behind.
I still want to see B-Wes truck him.
Oh, Connor's coming around. No, we can't sub Connor. And Connor's like 20 years old. So we can't sub him in for Jamie Lynch. That wouldn't be fair.
To his credit, Connor is very athletic. I mean, he's a college athlete.
No, Pat.
Played
none
baseball.
None of us is athletic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no. According to people on Twitter, none of us are athletes.
I thought that was really, how should I put this? I thought that was very admirable of you yesterday, sticking up for all of us on Twitter.
Well, yeah, to take people behind the curtain. Somebody responded to the poll that we put up on, and notice how when John goes away, we start putting on polls. but we put a poll up on at 975 JK Show, and it was who would win in a 40-yard dash, me or Jamie, and somebody responded that I would win because I'm somewhat athletic and Jamie is ... LOL. So I had to remind the person, well, Jamie was actually a college athlete, and he wasn't a fencer. He, like, played a legit sport. I, on the other hand, the only sport I played in college was Madden.
Pocketball. Mm-hmm.
Now, I did turn the Browns into a dynasty, but, yeah, I mean, to act like Jamie's not athletic is absurd.
Pat defended our honor. He threw it out there, and he said, I hate when people say that we're not athletic. Now, as you said, Connor played college baseball. You were phenomenal at Madden. You're still out there playing hockey three nights a week, which is...
Not well. I'm a locker room guy, but I'm out there.
You keep saying that, but you did it.
I play FIFA. You know, these thumbs are in prime condition.
Nah, Jamie, I've played sports with. Jamie's a hell of an athlete.
Jamie played 36 holes before the show started today.
Yeah.
I wish.
With a stub toe.
Yeah, Jamie, look, Jamie played college sports. You played college sports. Connor played college sports. Coach watched college sports. I mean, you know... We're specimens, folks. We're athletic freaks.
I wouldn't.
Now, there's only one of us here that actually thinks that they could beat pro athletes, and that's delusional Connor, but...
I really want to see B-West truck him. I can't be alone in this, right?
How old is B-West now? He's got to be
a little
mid-40s?
Older than me, so I want to say like 41, 42?
2002, okay. So he's probably 22 at the time.
Okay.
So that was about 20 years ago, so he's probably 42, 43. Yeah.
Okay.
So he is 41.
The best part about the B-West story is...
He will be 42 at FanFest. His birthday is September 2nd.
His birthday's the same as my wife's.
Ah, how Donna and B-West. Look at that.
You know what? And Donna and B-West are like this.
Are they?
He's so... Yeah, every time we see each other out, he's very, very...
He's the
nicer.
Man.
But go ahead. I'm sorry,
Well, the best part about the B-West story is when Connor originally got hired here and he was training in the back, he told me that he thinks he could truck B-West, could tackle him if they met in the hole. And B-West, and the reason he said this is because B-West actually came in studio that day, so he was milling around, and I cracked up, and I basically bullied Connor into telling B-West to his face, go ahead, no, say what you said, go ahead. So Connor sheepishly is like, well, you know, I think, you know, because, yeah, I'm a bigger, that maybe if we met in the hole, and B-West just cut him off and said, you know that ends poorly for you, right? And Connor walked it back and said, yeah, no, yeah, okay.
It's funny to me. Now, I'm not, and believe me, I love that Connor has that kind of confidence in himself. I think that's cool, and I think I told you guys, I don't know if I told you guys this story. So, I'm like 20 years old. I'm playing college basketball, and I went to a Sixers game with my dad, and Scottie Brooks was on the Sixers, and he's doing stuff on the floor.
He broke Ben Simmons.
Yes. And he's doing things. He was a backup on the Sixers, and it gets to be halftime. And my dad and I didn't have that, you know, like back and forth fun relationship. It was more like I'm the father, you're the son type of thing. Anyway, I said to him at halftime, I said, you know, I think I'm almost as good as Scottie Brooks. And he turned to me, my dad, in the limited words that he said, and he said, shut the bleep up. And that's all he said. And that was that. And I put my head back down. And I was like, wow, I guess I'm really, really wrong. And I was. Of course, I was really wrong.
Yeah, Scottie Brooks would dominate.
There was video this weekend of Alex Caruso just working some dude in a YMCA who
is
probably
that right?
was like Connor.
Yeah. Well, that was my point. People don't realize how gifted these professional athletes are.
Brian Scalabrine does it all the time where he gets challenged on either social media or in a gym. It'll be some high school kid that's like on the AAU circuit and be like, yeah, I can take you, old man. And Brian Scalabrine will beat these like kids or challengers like 10, 12, nothing.
Connor, and we never even said this one, but and I just popped into my head. Connor said that he could beat the best player on the Temple women's team.
No.
Somehow this came up. And I said,
we can arrange this.
I said,
one.
Bud, you wouldn't be able to beat the walk-on the Temple women's team. I mean, take the walk-on, take any of the walk-ons on Temple's women's basketball team, they would cook you. And I think I'm taller and no.
We can arrange this.
And now he didn't realize how tall the tallest member of the team was. I think he all thought that they were like my height. But they would dominate you. I mean, but that's the thing. People don't realize how good these women are, these men are. I mean, think of the worst player. They are the 1% in the world.
I used to, when I was coaching basketball, tell my kids, and I coached freshman kids, I would say, watch women's Connecticut. Watch the good women's basketball games that are on TV, because at that time, that's all you had was the top teams on all the time. I said, watch them, because they are so fundamentally sound. And in all honesty, it's a game that you could better relate to, because you're not dunking. You're not doing the things that college men basketball guys are doing yet. You should more relate to how good these women are, Division I basketball players, and maybe just pattern your game after that at this young age, because they're so fundamentally sound. And
some of these,
they're just really good basketball players.
And some of the girls on Temple's team are 6'3".
Connor, I remember looking at the roster. Connor didn't realize that.
Yeah, 6'1", 6'3", 6'3", 6'. Good luck, Connor.
I would love to see Connor get cooked like 10-0 by one of them.
Wow.
And then watch him get turned down for a date.
Did you see this?
Because you know Connor would shoot a shot as well.
Of course he would.
They're college kids. Yeah, I guess he would.
Connor's like 25.
You're right. Did you see there's a Mayor Sheehan on St. Joseph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she got interviewed. Yeah.
From Cardinal O'Hara.
Oh, yeah, so she's the Delco girl.
That's hilarious.
It is. I can only imagine. I was thinking when that show came out and all that, what her and her parents must have been like, Oh my God.
So my mom she just recently binged it, and she read up on the whole show. Apparently Mayor's house is in Wallingford, and it's gotten so popular that the owners had to come out and be like, can you please like leave us alone?
This is the Mayor house in the show?
In the show is in Wallingford. Yeah, and a lot of people are taking to visit it.
Oh, the Breaking Bad household laughs at that, because the Breaking Bad household had a problem of people throwing pizza on their roof. So they had to put up a fence to keep people from being able to chuck a pizza on their roof.
Wow. And I just ran into my buddy's wife over the weekend, who saw them film the Valley Green, like the murder scenes and all that.
Right, right.
That was all shot in Valley Green. And my friend's wife was running right behind Roxborough, like right in Andorra. And my friend's wife was running one day, and she got excused to go through the set and like ran by Kate Winslet. And Kate Winslet was like waving to the girls and stuff. So, yeah, all that was shot in Valley Green.
I remember when Henry Ave was closed off for that, because it was really inconvenient.
I was
trying to get to Salad Works, and I was not happy about it.
That may be... Well, I guess we weren't still in pandemic when Mayor of Easttown came out.
No, we weren't, because my son was supposed to be on it, and it got delayed because of the pandemic, and then they said, well, you know, he's too old at this point. I tried to tell them, well, that's acting, you know, just because he's...
He'll act. Look,
just because he's two at this point doesn't mean he can't act 11 months old, but yeah. So it was like they started doing it a little bit. They probably filmed for 2 weeks, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And then they had to back it up.
Poor Jack. Now he lost out on his acting career. For the moment. I won't give up on him entirely. I mean, I've seen the video of him.
Yeah, he constantly looks at me and says, I'm not going to be another Macaulay Culkin.
Do you have your acting card?
No, my SAG card, no.
Did you used to?
No.
Didn't you used to, like, mess around with being in
No, I was an extra twice, and it was only
And
because,
you don't need a SAG card for that?
No, you have to have, like, a legit role, and I...
Okay.
Being an extra sucks. Like, it's... It was a bucket list item, and it was for Creed 1 and 2, and it was only because I'm a huge fan of the Rocky franchise, but it sucks. People don't realize it. It's 13 hours, and you can't have a cell phone, and you're there at 7 in the morning. It's not fun.
And
it's a miserable...
Stupid question. Do you get paid?
You do get paid, but the pay is terrible.
It's like jury duty.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, really?
And I felt bad. The second Creed 1, they bust in some, quote, volunteers that didn't realize that we were all being paid, and they were not happy when they found that out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
No, because once again, people show up and they think, oh, this is cool, it's a bucket list item, and then you keep getting shushed by people, the production team, and it's not fun.
Did you ever get in on a behind the scenes movie, anything like that? Like, were you ever on screen?
You can see me for a second in Creed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in the crowd. Yeah,
really?
For like a split second. Yeah.
Huh.
I'll show you the video.
I might check it out.
Yeah.
I might not.
So I just got an offer from somebody connected to the Villanova women's basketball program.
Done.
And says Connor wouldn't get a basket on a girl, Maddie, who plays on Nova women's team. We can set this up.
I agree.
Oh, let's do it.
He will get cooked.
I don't think Connor would get a basket. Pick any local college. Drexel, Westchester, Philly U, or Jack is called Jefferson now. I don't think he'd get a basket on any of them.
we have to start. Like, Connor can't keep saying ridiculous things and getting away with it. So we'll start with the Women's Basketball Challenge. Then maybe, you know, we can get B. West and Pads one day.
I want to see B. West beat Connor in basketball.
Maybe T.J. McConnell's in town and we can have him absolutely dominate Connor one day.
So wait, what was the girl's name of Villanova that you said?
Maddie.
All right, let me see.
M-A-D-D-I-E.
I just called up their roster here.
He's going to get
Maddie. Maddie Segrest.
Yes.
She's 6'1" junior from Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie, New York.
That's where Marist College is.
I can't say it. I've never been able to say it.
Home of Rick Smits, the Flying Dutchman. I almost went there.
Wow, Rick Smits.
He went to Marist.
Indiana Pacers.
Poughkeepsie.
She went to Our Lady of Lourdes High School. So
CIA,
you know,
is up there. The Culinary Institute of America.
I still want to take culinary classes.
You should.
Well, just ask Coach.
Yeah, that's right. Coach,
it's a forgotten thing. Yeah. No, well, I'm sure he'll hook you up with a couple lessons.
No, I thought he taught though.
I don't think he teaches them. But Coach is a weird dude.
Yeah, he's got his hands in a lot of things. I was going to say has his toe in a lot
Bella
of things.
Bella Runyon is on the team. She's got to be John's daughter, right?
It is John's daughter from Morristown. Yeah, she went to Morristown Friends.
And I forgot, I'm friends with one of the assistant coaches on the women's team, Laura Kurz. So
Denise Dillon is the head coach. She used to be over at Drexel.
Yeah,
did a great job there.
Definitely arrange this.
Yeah.
Connor's out there right now smashing his toe against the curb.
Wow, Connor's getting called to the court.
I can't wait for this. This is going to be great.
I've told him before, like his self-awareness is just... It's non-existent. Like, his self-evaluation of his own talent. There's no doubt in my mind that Connor... Because this is what drove me nuts the other day. We talked about this a little bit, but there was a guy outside playing hoops. We could see him. We wanted Connor to go out there, and we basically wanted Connor to drive up and be like, dude, you can't even dunk, and just start messing with the guy. And then challenge him to a pickup game, and Connor wouldn't do it. But Connor said, well, I want to play you.
Yeah, that was
5'3" me.
His saying he wanted to play you was weird, but I wouldn't have accepted that challenge if I was Connor either.
I probably wouldn't either.
I wouldn't go up to a dude, a stranger, and just be like, yo, let's go, 1-on-1.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
I wouldn't do it either, but I cracked up because this is a guy who thinks he can be T.J. McConnell. You would think a random pickup game against a stranger, you'd think he'd be like, all right, I'll do that. And he was
so, Coach, didn't you teach at culinary school before? Or did you go to... why did I think you taught some classes?
No, went to Culinary Arts Institute of Philadelphia.
Oh,
I went there, yeah.
All right. Were you impressed by my Poughkeepsie, New York knowledge?
That was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm impressed that Coach went to culinary school and now
eats hot dogs every day.
And now makes hot dogs. We caught him yesterday as we were leaving, heating up a hot dog in the microwave.
Ah!
Coach. Come on, Coach.
No stuff.
Oh, my God.
It was really good, though. It's the all beef. It's the all beef dog.
Yeah, sure.
I thought we really legitimately had a Coach No Stuff thing there.
No, I thought it was the big wiener drop, and I just messed up. So I would hit our perfect show just ended, but it ended in the 6 o'clock hour. So.
No, that's all right. It just brings us closer together. Sometimes you have to have those little battles in order to bring you closer together. So last night, speaking of bringing us closer together.
McCutch.
Andrew McCutcheon. That was just so much fun to watch.
He tweeted after the game, I'm still floating.
Yeah.
That was his ninth career walk-off.
He's third among active players in walk-off home runs.
One came off of Brad Lidge.
Yes.
And another came off of Archie Bradley.
The Brad Lidge one wasn't cool, though.
It was his first career walk-off.
Hmm.
The Brad Lidge one.
Yeah. So third, his ninth altogether, third among active players in Major League Baseball. And that was really good stuff last night. But you come away with a good feeling. Okay, 3.5 out, whatever it may be. But we have to get to the reality of everything. And that is, what are the Phillies going to do now? And after the game was over and the euphoria, and I'm sitting there kind of thinking about it all, the negative thought came to my head, and I hate that it does because I'm not really a negative guy, but it did. And it's like, why do we expect the Phillies really to do anything when, and I saw this tweet by someone, Vinny Velasquez in his last 10 starts has a 7.74 ERA. And guess what?
Oof.
He's starting on Thursday night again. Now it's out of necessity because you have an Eflin injury. It looks like he's got a blister on his finger. Something's going to happen there. You have to throw Vinny out there because you really have nobody else.
Yeah, but why are we having the same conversation
exactly.
for four straight freaking years?
So why do we expect him to do something now?
Because you have to.
You had to 2 years ago.
I mean, he wasn't in the starting rotation to start this year. Once again, we're midway through a freaking baseball season, and we're looking to Vinny Velasquez to be something different than what he's shown you he is? Why are we doing this? Throw Mark Appel out there. Go trade for a guy like Rich Hill. Give up minimal, and you can do better than Vinny Velasquez. It's not difficult.
Are we at the point of anybody but, Pat?
Yes.
Anybody but. Like a, yes. Jamie, like a Vinny Velasquez, Spencer Howard.
Yes.
Anybody but Matt Moore? Or is Matt Moore that but is Matt Moore the guy you say, okay, I don't mind you throwing him out there?
I can deal with Matt Moore right now more than Vinny Velasquez.
Anybody
I'm
but
I'm not there yet. Only because this season he has had some good starts. So you're playing with fire, you're rolling the dice, and
what was the stat you just gave again?
7.74 ERA in his last 10 starts.
Okay, that is alarming. And the host makes a good point. But he's had some good starts. I think that's the only thing I can go to is it's not a good argument, but it either way, it doesn't surprise me. Like, he's either boom or bust. He either gives you a good start or he's out of there in 2 1/3.
He has the ability to give you
something. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not anybody but yet, because if he does end up having a good start, it saves your bullpen. And I think them constantly looking for bullpen games, that's going to bite them in the long run. That's why we're talking about they need a starter. So I understand the anybody but argument. I'm not going to die on that.
Yeah.
But for me, at least, I'm not there yet.
Spencer Howard gets through 3 last night, and I'm thinking, and Kruk kind of alluded to it in a sarcastic way of, wow, maybe this isn't a bullpen game or something like that.
Yeah.
He said something that caught me. And I thought to myself also, oh my God, this guy just breezed through 3. Perhaps you do get 4 or 5, maybe even 6 innings out of him. Because he was at a low pitch count, and then he did the stupidest thing and went up there and got a base hit.
he had to run the bases.
And then he was on the base pass for a good, like, 8, maybe 10 minutes.
He ran, like, you know, 270 feet or something.
Yeah, and it just didn't work for him. And then the finger went, and he bit the finger, and he bit the blister off, and he spit out some skin, and it just didn't go well after that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to go well. It's now almost August, and the guy's still not stretched out. Even if he didn't have a blister, I didn't expect him to go any further. I mean, what are they doing with this kid?
I don't know.
Because he's needed. His role is needed. It's now August, and he's not stretched out or capable enough to go 5 innings. Okay. How is that possible?
So if he can get 3 to 6 hitters out, doesn't that reek of something to you once again? He can get out 3 to 6 hitters.
So
he's been great at it all year.
So you're doing bullpen games once
Hell
every
yeah.
5 days.
So you I throw him in the bullpen.
I mean,
as
you
said, anybody but find another starter.
You have to out of necessity, but you also could, you know, make trades.
I still can't get over the fact they sent him down to, quote, solely work on being a starter and then had him pitch 51 pitches.
Yeah.
That goes back to the babying that we were talking about earlier. What the hell are you doing?
One of you said yesterday, and it's exactly right, organizational malpractice.
Yep. No, that was, yeah.
All right, we'll go with Pat. John Kincaid show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. John is on vacation. When we get back, a couple of names that we're going to throw out there that cause a lot of controversy. One local, one on the national scene, but it has local implications. Time at The Fanatic, 8:22.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is the John Kincaid Show here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, Coach Camille holding things down while John has a vacation with his girls in Las Vegas. Hope he's having a great time.
He told me that he had the best 2-day stretch of blackjack he's ever had.
Did he really?
So I said, fill those envelopes, Johnny.
Yeah, those envelopes are getting thicker.
Best 2-day stretch he's ever had?
He's ever had, yeah.
Maybe he's a bad gambler. Maybe that doesn't say a lot.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Vinny Velasquez. It's a low bar. You just need to do better.
I won $42.
All right, so should we tax him for a number? How much he's up?
Is he off of social media or no?
Well,
it doesn't appear like he is. Well, if you're off social
media. I'm curious a number now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, shoot him a text. Well, right. It's only 5:30 there.
Yeah, I'll wait.
But with his biological clock right now, with us getting up at 3:30 in the morning, he should be. He should be awake.
And the girls are meeting him. Oh, they met him yesterday.
Oh, okay, good.
I was going to say, maybe the excitement of the girls coming would have him up even earlier.
All right, so we have a little bit of a scouting report. Connor's in some trouble here. So the girl that, now, how did it come about? Somebody got in touch with
somebody that works for Villanova in the sports department.
Okay.
Reached out and says, Connor wouldn't get a basket on Maddie, who plays on the women's team. We can set this up. Now, I forgot that a good friend of my wife's, Laura Kurz, is an assistant on the team, too. So we have several avenues to pursue this. And okay. Connor's going to get embarrassed.
Well, you said don't make it happen.
Yeah, he said we can set this up.
Okay. So we had to do a little scouting report, of course, because that's what we do.
And then he said she's going to saute him like a cutlet. Direct quote.
I think I got to steal that. That's an amazing line.
So Connor comes running in here during the break, and he's like, oh, my God, what the hell are you guys doing to me?
All right, Now, let's just take a step back a moment. He runs in during the break, terrified over the Big Five Villanova
scouting
women's
report.
Yet he thinks he can beat T.J. McConnell.
Yeah. So all Maddie has done, Maddie Segrist, she's a redshirt junior, has played two seasons at Villanova, just completed her second season. All she did this year was first team All Big East, name first team All Big Five, oh yeah, and Big Five Player of the Year.
Yeah, Connor's toast.
Yeah, Connor's in a little bit of trouble. She's 6'1", so Connor's what, about 5'11"-ish maybe?
Yeah, she's probably got a height advantage.
You know, Connor's probably 6'6".
Yeah, 6 foot, we'll give him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of her stuff. Had 34 points against Creighton, 31 points, 13 boards, 5 assists against LaSalle. Yeah, Maddie got it done. So, Maddie, if you're out there listening, if anybody knows Maddie, we'd love to hear from you. We would give you a scouting report on Connor.
So I think the game isn't so much, hey, first one of 10, because we know how that ends. I think the game is we go until Connor finally scores a point.
That could be a long time.
It will be a long time, and she's probably just going to get tired and...
No, I'm
home.
Saying make it, take it up to 10.
So I don't have a problem with that, I guess, but I also would like to see, okay, Connor's going to go up against the juggernaut of the Villanova women's team. I'd also like to see him go up against the walk-on.
Yeah.
So you're going up against the best, and then you're going up against a walk-on just to kind of show a little bit of a difference, because maybe he can score against a walk-on. I don't think he can at all, but it is...
If we're going walk-on, let's go. We'll go the best women's player, men's walk-on from one of the Big Five schools.
Oh, he's done.
Men's walk-on, he's not going to score a point.
Yeah.
My son was a walk-on at LaSalle.
And he wouldn't score a point.
And Kyle would work Connor.
He probably would. You're right.
Connor would get worked by the videographer in Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Maddie, if you want a scouting report, if anybody out there knows Maddie Segrist from Villanova, we can certainly give you one on Connor, because we are making one up.
Maddie, we'll give you Fan Fest tickets.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Maddie might not be 21. I don't know if we can do that, Pat. You have to be 21 or older to
do it.
She's
hanging right around.
She's a redshirt junior.
Yeah, she probably
should
be
good.
You're right. Yeah.
Should be
so she could cook Connor and then come over and have a beer with us at FanFest. Nothing wrong with that. All right, so getting back to the sports aspect, a little bit of it here. We talked a little bit earlier about Ben Simmons and what's going on this offseason, and Jamie has maybe some parallels between him and another Philadelphia athlete, and it is a linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
I hate to bring up his name. I'm not trying to do this all the time. But... to me, as an outsider, the optics of the Ben Simmons and Sixers situation tells me it's over. Whether they're done with him or he's done with them, something doesn't smell right in this situation to me. So let's work under the pretense that Ben wants out.
Okay.
If that's the case, the parallels between him and Carson Wentz are eerily similar. Both drafted with top two picks around the same time. Both had very early success in their respective leagues. Both appear somewhat coddled. Both signed max contracts, extensions with the team that drafted them. And then within a year or two later, one out? It's kind of bizarre, right?
Oh, it's a why can't we have nice things moment.
Right? Like, are we that much of savages? Or do we need to...
Whoa. Philly, who we? We're not to blame.
No, well, what's the common denominator here? It's the Philadelphia market, right?
I think
it's a
more...
high-pressure situation when you're
That's
here.
It's interesting you think of it that way.
Well, it's hard not to think of it, right?
I would call it coincidence more than blame on the market.
I can't help but think it has a role in it. It takes a particular type of mindset to play here. I mean, Mike Schmidt and Ron Jaworski can tell you all about that.
Yeah. No, no question about it.
So
it
when you have two guys that within 6 years of their careers, where we thought we had somebody for a decade plus of dominance, for both of them to fizzle out potentially at 5 years after signing extensions,
is that is a crazy parallel.
Very weird to me.
Pat, do you go blame on... Now, I don't want to say blame on...
No, we're never going to change. It is what it is. But do the front offices need to start getting a little more... Not that they don't do their homework, but the mental background... Yeah. Is that something that needs to be taken into the equation more when you're drafting here in this town?
All right, let me do this. Let me say what's the most, to both of you, Pat, what's the most common denominator? Would you put it as the fan base is the most common denominator because of those two guys or something else?
I think social media has made, in these two particular cases, it worse than maybe it was.
Okay.
Because
for Ben Simmons, absolutely.
Yeah, because when Ben's in the Wells Fargo Center, there you don't hear anything. Like, maybe an occasional murmuring of why didn't he shoot that. But for the most part, it's all love.
What do you think?
Carson got that, too. It's just...
Yeah, Carson had people walking around in jerseys.
The thing is, they're both totally different, too, in the sense of one was the anointed one seemingly out of the womb. I mean, right. he'd been treated like a professional since high school. The other was kind of what you sometimes want, like that Dame Lillard, Ja Morant chip on your shoulder because he went to a small school, overlooked, and that's Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And for the first 5 years, he looked the part. And then he had the worst statistical year I think any quarterback's had. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And you started to question, okay, well, what went wrong, and did he start to smell himself a little bit? Did he not like the competition? Whatever it was, but I don't really know how you test for that. But for the Eagles, this is not just... him. I mean, I go back to Andre Dillard. We talked earlier about the fight at training camp. Like, how does that not come out of, hey, this guy's not exactly mentally tough?
So why does this happen all the time here? It has to be us, right?
It probably happens more in other cities that we don't realize.
I don't know. With top two picks at signed extensions.
Yeah, the top picks are different. But
I mean, you've had it happen three times in the span of 5 years. We're not...
Yeah,
Markel,
like
Markel Fultz also.
Yeah, this is becoming kind of concerning, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
I mean, I guess.
What is going on here? Are we that brutal?
I don't want to bring it up either, but Alec Bohm's not exactly having the best season.
No, like, yeah, I mean.
What is it?
You know, pressure makes diamonds, as RG3 tried to trademark. But we're making cubic zirconiums here.
No, it's a good point that you bring up.
It's
like,
scary.
They are so similar. When you break it down the way that you broke it down.
Or are they coddled too much and they can't deal with us?
Or is it the norm of today's athlete?
Or, yeah, is it the social media era athlete?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I was just thinking about that yesterday. I was like, man, if Ben S. out of here, this is literally insane.
Where was Spencer Howard drafted?
Second round.
What if he... I mean, he got booed a little bit last night when he went off with his injury.
I don't think fans realized, though, why he was coming out.
Could be.
I mean, it's really... when you're sitting in Citizens Bank Park, are you really focused on the train? Oh wait, no, guys, that's the trainer.
No, yeah.
Joe Girardi comes out like I saw Philly getting ripped by a couple people for quote booing Spencer Howe. We don't boo opposing players for injuries since the Michael Irvin thing. So the idea that we'd boo our own, it was more, I think, to do with the fact that, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, I wonder when the frustration level gets really high for him, which it's getting higher with the, you know, unable to run the bases, the peanut butter sandwich, all of that stuff. Now an injury on top of it. I wonder if there's some mental fragility with him. Is that another guy that we got to worry about of how he's handled, coddled, whatever?
Is this what we have to worry about with every draft pick now?
I hope not.
Like, is there more formula?
And it can't just be Philadelphia. It can't be. Like Pat said, it can't be.
I don't know, man. Like, I think maybe there is a role in this. We're too intense. I mean, like, you don't hear about this up in Boston with Jaylen Brown and, let's say,
Jason Tatum.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't hear about it with their football players. Apparently, Belichick runs like a gulag of a facility, and you didn't hear peeps out of there.
Sounds fun.
It's concerning. There's no.
I mean, but what about, like, New York, I guess, with Sam Darnold and.
But that wasn't his asking out. They realized he wasn't what they thought and moved on. Like, it's rare that a young athlete, like a Dame Lillard after 9 years, you're like, all right, sure. I get that. The team's not good enough. They're kind of stuck in the mud. Ben Simmons isn't there yet. Carson Wentz wasn't there yet.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very strange to me.
I hate that you just brought that up, Jamie.
I'm sorry.
All right, this Connor thing's getting some traction here, and Matt in Roxborough wants to talk about it. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
What's up, Bob? How you doing, brother?
Doing good. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, man. You probably don't remember.
I remember you. You were a walk-on extraordinaire at LaSalle.
I wouldn't call it that part, but I'm just, I'm washed up. But I'm telling you, some of the walk-ons would absolutely destroy Connor. most of them are probably better athletes than you could imagine, but it's just the size issue for a lot of them. But I don't know, Bob, you got to think that most of these walk-ons would absolutely crush them, right?
So I've seen, to full honesty here, I've seen limited Connor game. We've gone out and shot up a little bit. Connor's a good athlete. I played basketball all my life. You know, I wouldn't worry about playing against him when I was younger. My son was also a walk-on at LaSalle. I certainly would have a lot of confidence, my son, going up against Connor. So, yeah, I mean, it's all fun and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, there's unbelievable talent there. People don't realize, college athletes, pro athletes, how much talent there is there. Right, Matt?
Absolutely, man. Especially, you know, when we're up here and with the conversation with the first-round picks as well. I mean, you know, Philadelphia's a tough place to play. I mean, walk-ons get abused on the road. So it's, you know, I don't know. Do you think Connor could even take that on the road, or do you think the fans would crush him a little bit too?
I don't know. Connor's mental fragility.
You got to be able to be mentally tough as a walk-on, man. Going into Charlotte and Xavier and stuff like that, you get absolutely harassed.
Nobody messed with you, Matt.
You'd be shocked.
I don't know. Matt's a big weightlifter.
Really funny.
Matt, I don't know. You got to go out on a Jimmy Lynam imitation for me.
All right, G. Let me tell you something, G. You got to get to the pop spot, G. Now, my point with, I mean, you would love it, man. When we were at Xavier, we lost by about 25, 30 points, and they were begging for me to get in. And they just started taunting me with cheese steaks, trying to get me all fired up. But,
oh, man.
G had a different opinion. He left those starters in for that one.
I hear you. Matt, thanks so much for checking in, buddy. We really appreciate it. All right, be good. So Matt was a big weightlifter. I think he even did time as a weightlifting guy or strength coordinator for the basketball team at LaSalle. I don't know why anybody would have been messing with him, trust me, on the bench there. But, yeah, Connor, forget the guys. Connor's got to take on Matty first.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matty's the one that Connor's going to have to go up against and figure out how he's going to play that
out. Connor's in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a real good thing. You know what is a good thing? ExpressPros.com. Looking for a job? Contact Express Employment Professionals and be part of their national hiring event. Go to ExpressPros.com. Find your nearest office and call Express today. All right, so there's been a hot topic going around. Ben Simmons is one of them, Jamie, that you just hit on, and rightfully saying that we don't want to hit on that all the time, but it is a talking point, just like this is. And we had some stuff going on yesterday about this, but Deshaun Watson, the talk came about yesterday again that they are willing to depart with him, Houston is, and what it would take to get him, and do you even want to get him? Look, I've just gone out and said I don't want any parts of the guy, and there was something that came out. I read this morning that 10 people filed police reports against him. Not a civil case. This is police reports.
Mm-hmm. This is 10 new cases, right?
Yes. 10 women, 8 of them who are also included on the civil cases.
Well, I was going to say not entirely new cases.
Right.
It takes the total back up to 24, which is what we thought it would be, but these are legal cases, not civil cases, meaning they're not in it for the money.
Right. So now there is legal cases that have been presented by 10 women, 8 of them who also are in, or I don't know if you have to remove yourself from a civil case to make it legal. I am not a lawyer on that. But there is legal cases against Deshaun Watson. The talk has been that the Eagles are interested in him. Look, I'm going to explain this out. I had it out with Pete, not had it out, was talking about it with people on Twitter last night. This is a sports subject because the Philadelphia Eagles, according to those on the inside reporting it, are interested in Deshaun Watson being a part of their football team. I do not want any parts of him. We all have our own individual opinions about whether they should go after him or not. It is a business decision by the Philadelphia Eagles, and if they choose to do so, it is a talking point. If they choose not to do so, it is a talking point after having seemingly thrown their hat into the ring. Okay? That's what it is. I've heard people say that there's no way I could support this team should they bring him here. I hear you on that. I do not want any parts of this guy here. That's just me. I've said it ad nauseum that if you do bring him here, who's to say that he's still not the creep that he seems to be right now? There is so much legality that has to go on with this and so many different morality things that have to go on with this. I would rather wash my hands of it. But it is still something that the Philadelphia Eagles are considering, and therefore it is a topic of conversation. And Pat, some of the things that Houston came out with yesterday brought to light about what they may be looking for and how this all may play out.
They are looking for 3 first-round picks, probably more. And with new cases being brought up, how in the world can you justify giving up that capital? Like, if you even want to trade for him, how can you justify giving up 3 first-round picks for a guy that, as you said, and I've lockstep with you there, we don't even know if this won't be a recurring issue in Philly. He gets out of Houston, he gets to a new market. What, all of a sudden he's cured? He's seen the light? I mean, not everybody is Mike Vick, who realized that they made a horrible mistake and have spent the rest of their life trying to rectify their wrongs. So I don't understand how you would even as an organization justify that to your fan base, giving up 3 first-round picks for a guy that has, whatever, 28? I mean, one's too many. This guy has 24, 25, 20.
Yeah.
How would you even justify that? So if you're the Eagles and you are interested in Deshaun Watson, and I think people forget that the Eagles are a football team that want to win. When they win, they make money. When they win, people keep their jobs. I mean, the morality thing, the NFL showed you a long time ago, throw morality out the window. The NFL does not care about morality at all. They proved that when Joe Mixon was drafted. So the Eagles are looking to make a football decision. It's one that we really don't agree with at all, at on the show at least. But how do you justify it, and do you just wait them out? Because I don't see any organization giving up 3 first-round picks for a guy with these problems.
Yeah, and I've heard many people say, look, it's a business decision, and your business is to win football games. Okay, that's not a business decision I'm making. I'm sorry, that comes into play for me individually. It comes into play when something like this happens, and you don't know the short term of it. So you're going to make a trade for a Deshaun Watson, and then things play out, and you give up 3 first-round or 3 draft picks, and maybe more, and then what? He does get criminal charges against him, he does get his football career derailed, to me, the business decision right now is a no-brainer. You do not touch this.
Yeah, I mean, quarterback desperation has always dominated the NFL, and it will always continue to dominate the NFL, but I didn't think they would really come to this level. To be this involved with a case that's still very much ongoing, I mean, we don't know the details of like 22 of these 24 women. We've only seen snippets of text or DM conversations from, I believe, the two or three women. So to even talk about it at this stage is foolish.
Yeah, it is. And it's bad business.
Because there could be so much worse information that comes out that we don't even know about yet. And then you got to walk back your comments if you say go do it. So we don't even know. I mean, this could be worse or better than what people think it could be right now. We have no idea.
Probably is worse. You'd have to
chances
assume
are it's worse than it is better.
There's a lot of stuff that we're not hearing about the women that haven't come forward with it. And they'll sit there in front of the fan base and media and say, oh, you know, we're all about reclamation projects. Like, BS. If he didn't have talent, you'd never give him a chance.
Now, Michael Vick paid his dues.
Ray Rice never got another chance because he was cooked as a running back.
It's a privilege to work in the NFL. It's not a right.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say Carolina, Miami, and Philadelphia weren't interested in Deshaun Watson, and Houston didn't want him anymore. There's nothing that says he has to play in the NFL.
No, not at all. And, you know, if Bob Cooney, Pat Egan, or Jamie Lynch are GM of a team,
He certainly doesn't have to play for my team.
We're washing our hands, and maybe there's 30 other people that are doing that also.
Is there any price that you'd pay?
No.
So I respect that, but like they call up and say seventh round pick for Deshaun Watson, you're saying no.
Yeah, I am.
I respect the hell out of that.
I really am. I'm sorry. My clear conscience comes before, and I'm not ignorant as to what winning football games for a $1 billion organization means. I am not dumb to that at all. But I am not selling my soul for that in a little bit, and I'm not even hesitating on it. No chance, no way.
What about Jamie? Any price?
I mean, I think it's dumb to even comment on before we know the full case. Okay. You know what I mean? But probably not, no.
Yeah, it's just, for now, no.
It would feel completely gross.
Yeah. No,
for a team that has him at quarterback.
I don't want to say I'd rather lose going the right way than win going the wrong way, but I would. That's such a wrong way to me. I don't want to even look at that exit of an avenue to go down. I don't want to do it. I never would. And, you know, again, that's me, and that's the way I think this show feels on that stance. 610-632-0975, Jamal in West Philly. You think Connor has a shot. So we're going to get to you as soon as we get back, Jamal. It is the John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Time is 8:52.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 a.m. hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. Bagster, is that where Connor's going to wind up after Maddie Segrest gets done with him?
What was the line that the person from Villanova said, Jamie?
She's going to saute him like a cutlet.
Like a cutlet. Now, Jamal in West Philly has different ideas. Jamal, what do you got going on, buddy?
Yo, what's up, yo? What's going on? Definitely, man, I'm rolling with Connor on this one.
No, how do you figure? You've never seen Connor play. This girl's the biggest player of the year.
This is what I'm going with. Connor from here, right?
Connor's from Jersey, yeah.
All right, Connor local. She not, man. I'm going with Connor. And I'm pretty sure Connor way more than her. So I told Connor on the phone, put your back to the basket and play big.
Connor's got he's got no post game, Jamal. I've seen it. He's got nothing. Footwork is terrible.
Con, I'm still around with you, dog. I got you, bro.
You don't even believe it.
All right, Jamal, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Jamal's in too deep.
Yeah.
He's in way too deep.
Once we gave him a Connor scouting report, he was trying to
He's like, oh, crap.
I misspoke. She wasn't Big East player of the year, but she was first team all Big East.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Connor still gets coached.
Jamal was sounding like Pat with Mickey Moniak or me with Robert Covington. We're in too deep. We're going to bleed out on those hills.
We're
going to die all over it.
Not Rich Hill, but we're dying on a hill.
You can't give it up once you have. I'm trying to see if I can get her individual stats up here. I can only get.
Well, look, she's putting 31 on Creighton, so I mean, you're 34, whatever.
All right,
it was.
Here we go. She played 24 games. Boy, she's getting a lot of love on this show today, isn't she? She started all 24 games in which she played. She hit 40. She shot 36% from 3-point.
Oh boy, game over.
77% from the foul line. She averaged 22.9 a game. 9.8 rebounds. 26 over a block a game. Over a steal a game. Yeah, Connor's toast, man. And exactly 2 assists a game. Yeah, I think Maddie has. She shot 48% from the field.
We have to get her to agree to this, because if I'm Maddie, I'm like, this isn't even worth my time.
Everybody likes to dominate. Nah, I think Maddie's cool with it. She wants to show Connor what's what.
Should we hit her up on Twitter and see if she's down?
I think we should. Because the Villanova people put it out there to us. So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to infringe on her privacy all that much, but if we could find a way to see if it's okay to ask her, yeah, I got no problem with that, right? No? Oh, Egan's already on it.
Say less.
Pat's debating. All right. NJ Diet contractually guarantees you lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, so there's still time to get slimmer for summer. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET or njdiet.com. All right. We got a big week here with so many things going on. Eagles starting training camp. Phillies are still in the fight. Sixers are the Sixers. And the NBA has something going on Thursday night, James.
Yeah,
it's draft. It's called that draft thing.
It's really below the radar this year, I feel like, more than ever, and understandably so. But Detroit is, you know, the number one pick, and apparently they're not even sure who they're taking.
No, it's among 3 people from what I read last night.
Yeah, Mobley, Green, and Cade Cunningham. Yeah. Now, Cade Cunningham, by most people's estimation or best guess, is pretty unanimous number one overall player, but apparently not to Detroit, who is either shopping or unsure. Apparently, they turned down an offer, which I think is a little crazy, of SGA and number 6 to move up to number 1. SGA is a pretty good
player. He's an up-and-comer. Yeah, exactly.
And number 6, you should still be able to get somebody that helps, unless, you know, you think Cade Cunningham or one of these guys is that can't miss. Jalen Green is the kid that went to the G League.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch a single G League game this year outside of some blue coats here and there. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I know much about Jalen Green. Evan Mobley, is a 7-footer from USC. Those are like kind of the top 3 picks.
Yeah.
And then as we remember, Jalen Suggs, the kid from Gonzaga, is like right there at 4 or 5.
He's the kid I've seen most out of all these guys.
Yeah. I watched a 5 or 6 Cunningham games just because, you know, he was getting all the hoopla.
Hoopla.
I said hooplore. Hoopla.
That's all right.
So I watched Cade Cunningham. He's impressive, but, you know,
it's crazy.
I don't know. It was just such a weird year. So we'll see what happens. Sixers reportedly are already shopping pick 28, which, as we talked about yesterday, Daryl Morey's history shows you he's much more apt to help his current team out than take long shots in the draft. And once you get down to 28, you're looking at pretty much long shots. So there's a good chance the Sixers are active before Thursday night. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of smoke coming out of that center right now over in Camden. So we'll see what is real and what isn't pretty soon.
It is crazy to me and hurtful to me at the same time that this NBA draft, and I blame nobody but myself, that this NBA draft is coming up on Thursday, and I, on a scale of 1 to 10, know 0 about these players. The pandemic killed me. I don't know what it was.
Well, college basketball has been hurting even besides the pandemic. It's not what it once was, and I love the NBA draft. Like, it's something my buddy throws a party in Jersey every year where every player has a drink attached to them, and you have not, like, and if your player gets you have to, it's a fun NBA draft night drinking game. And like, that's how much I get into it. But like, outside of the top 5 picks this year, I'm like,
even in the top 5 picks, I'm going to look. I'm going to peel back all walls. I'm not going to lie. Even the top 5 picks, Suggs, I saw play probably 5 or 6 times this year. I liked his game. I liked the way Gonzaga plays the game. Kate Cunningham, I think I saw a little bit of him this year. Jalen Green didn't see it all. Evan Mobley, I saw highlights of. I never watched a USC game. Look, I love college basketball. And when I was covering the pro, obviously that took up most of my time. But I loved watching prospective guys that might come to prospects that may come to Philadelphia or be in and around the league.
Like Jalen Johnson, a kid from Duke, he saw once or twice.
Yeah.
The Wagner kid, Franz Wagner, Mo's brother at Michigan, I maybe saw play once.
Yeah. I know more about high school kids throughout the country than I know about this draft class right now. And I'm not kidding on that.
Like Kispert, the guy from Gonzaga with the stash. You know, like you saw them. Gonzaga was
that
probably...
That kid can shoot. Yeah, and he may be... Well, this mock draft has him going at 15. I did see someone that said the Sixers, if he's around, might be interested in him at 28. It looks like if this mock draft is saying 15, 28 would be a reach.
He can shoot, yeah, but he's...
Oh, my God.
Kind of slow, right?
Yeah, yeah. There was one video of this kid from, I'm going to mispronounce his name because I know so little about these guys. James, B-O-U-K-N-I-G-H-T. So, Boo Knight from Oklahoma City, or from UConn, rather, I'm sorry, who
I did not see UConn playing this year.
I just watched on Twitter of him the other day. I think he made 32 straight threes or something like that from different ways of movement and stuff like that. It was pretty impressive. He's a 6'5 kid, shooting guard, obviously, from UConn, as I said. But
what was his percentage in a game?
I don't know.
Come on, Bobby.
I don't know anything about college basketball.
You're supposed to be Bobby Basketball.
I hate it. I hate that we're going into Thursday night, and even of the top 5 picks, I'm going to go, oh, wow, okay, who's that?
Yeah, and even more specifically with the Sixers, they're at the point where the draft isn't really going to help your success immediately for next year. So it's more about like 2 and 3 years down the line, what can these kids become? There's probably nothing they can do on Thursday night that's going to benefit the team unless it's a big trade.
Yeah.
That's going to benefit the team next year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the wind's out of your sails in that way. The wind's out of your sails because we don't know the draft like we typically know the draft, and it's just kind of deflating.
Yeah, it is deflating. And so we saw a trade last night, Pelicans, that made you break your toe and therefore not be able to run against Deegan.
Well, when Valanciunas gets traded,
drop everything.
You think Jamie was just like all day walking around looking at his phone saying, I need something, I need something, I need something. Oh, trade, bang. No, I broke my toe. Yeah, he's running against
that's
Pat.
That's me.
I think his wake and bake partner is rubbing off on him, and all of a sudden Jamie gets hopped up for Lithuanian basketball news. When it happens, boom, toe goes into the curb.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a common injury, I will say. The stubbing of one's toe.
It is the worst I've ever stubbed my toe in my life.
Jamie said he saw stars after it happened.
Yeah, it was one, because I didn't see it coming. You know how things are more painful when you don't see it coming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those, and it just, like, went blind.
Coach doesn't believe you.
And then you're trying not to curse in front of your little child, because she's at the repeat every word she hears stage.
So wait, Skylar's 2?
It's 2 in, like, 4 or 5 months.
No, I don't think I...
So I'm really trying not to curse ever. Yeah. But when you get blinded by pain you didn't know was there, your immediate reaction, at least mine is to yell like, bleep, bleep, bleep.
You got to go with the rookie of the year, Funky Butt Lovin'.
Yeah. Henry Rowengardner.
Rosenberger.
Did you ever see that rookie of the year?
There's no shot.
Rookie of the year?
Come on.
I think so.
Hey, Rosenberger.
Nah, probably not.
With Chet?
Chet the Rocket Stedman?
Come on, Bob. Bobby. One of your kids had to watch Rookie of the Year.
Which one's Rookie of the Year?
Where he breaks his arm and then it heals and he can launch the ball like 100 miles an hour.
You know, the very realistic movie where a closer for the Cubs ends up turning the team around.
Was he like 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... No, I didn't watch that.
Come on, man.
That's stupid.
It was one of John Candy's best movies.
No, John Candy, Daniel Stern, who's Chet?
John Candy's best movie was playing Strange
Guy from Point Break.
Yeah, he's
He's
crazy.
Yeah, the dude.
There's someone driving around right now screaming at their it's Gary Busey.
Gary Busey, yes.
Oh,
yeah. Stellar.
Somebody's driving around right now be like, do these guys even know movies?
No, I don't. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't know movies.
It's a classic movie, Bobby.
I did watch, wasn't there another movie where...
It's 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You thought critics were going to love that movie?
I thought Rotten Tomatoes was user.
There's a user score and then there's the critic score. The rotten or I guess fresh score is the critic score.
We're going to have Tim Saunders coming up in a couple of minutes. Talking about Flyers.
Right.
Yeah. All right. What was the movie with the dude?
Mighty Ducks?
Audience score 52%.
What was the movie with the dude who was like a high school coach and then he threw something and the radar showed it to be Dennis Quaid?
The Rookie.
The Rookie. Okay.
Yeah, it's a true story.
I did see that.
That was a true story.
About Jim Moore.
It was based on a true story.
It was a true story.
Okay.
I don't know.
It was Disney-fied for sure. Difference. There's actually, so it's unfortunate because there was a pitcher named Steve Delabar who pitched for the Mariners and the Blue Jays. He ended up becoming an all-star. He had the exact same story as Jim Morris. High school teacher, started working back his arm. All of a sudden, he got caught by a scout, signs on. He became an all-star. Jim Morris was not a good baseball player. But because he came second, he doesn't get his life made into a movie.
All right, so the Rookie, the guy had success. They showed up in the majors.
He had success in the sense of he made it to the majors.
He wasn't very good.
Dennis Quaid, though, got away with playing an athlete. Like, he could throw a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Dennis Quaid is a tiny fella.
He is. I heard he's
a
mean little man, I heard, too.
I've heard that also.
Yeah.
I met him once, and I was actually, like, taken aback how short he was.
Like,
people said the same thing about me.
Little taller than Egan.
What?
No way. Really? That's what it seemed like. This was a decade ago that I saw him, but.
What, you think he's grown since then?
No, probably not.
I mean, he's got to be 60 some years old, I would assume, something like that. He dated Meg Ryan for a while, right? Weren't they married?
He's 67 years old.
Wow. What's his height?
It doesn't list it on Wikipedia.
Really?
I wouldn't want to list it either.
Why? What difference does it make?
Because everybody in Hollywood is tiny.
Tom Cruise is like 5'6".
I saw John Legend at a Super Bowl once, and I was because he was back in like the TV production area, and I was like John Legend, I could pick you up in the palm of my hand, carry you around.
He's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, right.
I'm just telling you what Google says.
Yeah,
well, feet tall.
On my license, it says 135 pounds.
It says Meg Ryan's 5'8".
Google
says
lying.
Randy Quaid is 6'5".
He's cuckoo.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's bad.
The aliens from Independence Day did a number on him.
Yeah, that didn't. That's not going well. Is he allowed back in the? Has he been allowed back into the U.S. yet?
I don't know.
Because he was exiled, or he exiled himself to Canada.
Yeah,
and then
I think so.
I think the U.S. government or something said stay there.
He was putting out some wacky videos.
Like, we don't want you anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just learned something this week, and I didn't know, and this sounds stupid. Watermelon really makes you go to the bathroom.
What?
What a segue. And you know, this is why Bob's sitting in the big chair.
It's like
it's like drinking water.
Yeah, it's all water.
Didn't realize
now,
that.
Let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
There it is.
You mean
pretty
like a
soon
diuretic?
There's going to be a puddle in Cooney's Corner because that's why I brought it up. Because things are just bad. See, I always...
What did you think it was?
I always measure myself on bringing stuff up by the look on Coach's face. And I just failed miserably. So, you know.
I just texted John Kincaid.
I apologize.
What did you think watermelon was? It's literally got water in its name.
Yeah, I know, but I just didn't think it would have the effect as quickly as like a gallon of water does. Like, I had huge.
That's why
I'm trying to eat fruit every morning.
Ah, that's why people do the watermelon vodka trick.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, because it absorbs whatever liquid.
Yeah.
It comes across, and it's a water.
You go to draft parties where you put a drink on somebody's name, and
it's a fun party. You would like it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who has it? Madden?
No, but like kind of his Haddonfield
his crew
of idiots.
Yeah, those Haddonfield crew. They can They're a bunch of drinkers over there. We are going to talk momentarily to Flyers announcer Tim Saunders about what's been going on with this team. And as a matter of fact, we're going to do that right now. Timmy, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for joining the show.
Speaking of tall people, I'm Pat Egan tall.
I think you have him by a couple of inches, Tim. You have to admit that.
And I'm the... he's the only guy I can think of that I can say that about.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You and Coatsy are the mean little men of the NHL, and we appreciate that and love what you guys bring to us. So, Timmy, just let us know, what do you think about the Flyers' moves, what they've made? We talked about it a lot yesterday with the additions of Atkinson, Ellis, Ristolainen, a lot of different things going on, guys out, guys in. Overall, what's your feeling about this team right now?
Honestly, I'll say what I did an event with Chuck Lister last night, and this is going to sound like hyperbole, and I don't mean it to because I think this is accurate. I think the 8 days that he pulled these three moves off might be the most consequential 8 days in franchise, well, at least in the last 20 years. He's filled three huge holes. He's done in a time where it's really hard to make deals. He's made some important, impactful moves that I think is going to set this franchise back on track.
Tim, when this season got over and the disappointment that it was, I think we all sit back and you evaluate as fans, as an analyst as you are, and Chuck Fletcher also, and figure out what the big need was. What was the big need of this team in your mind after this disappointing season got over?
It was no secret at all. It was... defensively, they were one of the worst teams in the league, so goals against. So everything that Chuck did had to fit the narrative of improving this team defensively and improving the mix in the room, meaning the leadership group in the room. Because he even said in his postseason press conference that the mix just wasn't right. There was something wrong. They had to look at it. The biggest obvious individual position need was a top right-handed shooting defenseman, presumably to pair with Ivan Provorov. They never were able to replace Matt Niskanen when he kind of surprised retired earlier than they thought he would. And I think getting a Ryan Ellis is not only going to replace Matt Niskanen, he's probably a better player. Niskanen might have been more defensive-minded. Ellis, I think, does more for you. So he filled his biggest glaring need right off the bat before really things get started, and Chuck got a jump on things.
Yeah, and Tim Saunders joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Tim, all these moves are great, and it was obvious defense needed to be addressed. Is there a feeling within the building that addressing this defense, and even in Risto, a guy that can maybe clear the crease and give some protection to that goalie a little bit, is there a sense of belief that Carter Hart will be just fine with an improved defense in front of him?
Yeah, I think everybody in the organization has a confidence that what we saw from Carter Hart last year was not the Carter Hart you're going to see moving forward. And it wasn't a big surprise because every great goaltender has gone through that, especially when you get into the league at the young age that Carter Hart did. Carey Price had the same issues with taking a half a step back early in his career because you kind of have to figure it out no matter how much success you had at the junior hockey level. So honestly, I don't think they're overly concerned with Carter Hart. Now, having said that, the one thing they still have to address, and now the last objective that Chuck is going to deal with, is coming up with a backup goaltender. Brian Elliott really filled his role very well. When he was healthy, he played some huge games for this team and kept them in games that maybe they didn't have any right to still be in. But I think they're prepared to move on from Brian Elliott. I think they need a 1B type guy that could, if he had to, if an injury came up, that he could play a bigger number of games. But they're not looking to replace Carter Hart. They need to get a good veteran backup that could push him a little bit, and I think that's what they're going to do.
Coachy, or no, you're Timmy. That's right. Timmy.
Wow. When,
yeah. Tim, we apologize
really,
for him.
I feel like cutting his mic right now.
Well, you got to understand, I tried to get Coatsy, but Timmy, I had to settle for Timmy.
Wow.
Doubling down.
This is the short joke coming back to haunt you, right?
Exactly, yeah. You got to understand, I hear this all season long. So when you look at the three big moves they made Ellis, they made Risto trade, and then they traded for Cam Atkinson. Which one excites you the most?
Well, I think just because he did it in order of priorities, and I think getting Ryan Ellis was the big one, right? I do think the trade for Jake Voracek, sending him back to Columbus for Cam Atkinson, I think is going to be pretty impactful in itself, though, because Jake, to me, seemed like, and he had great success. Let's not go to sleep on the fact that his numbers in the 10 years he was in Philadelphia were pretty special. He's a unbelievably skilled guy. But if you've paid attention to me, Jake is sounded like a guy that wanted a change of scenery. He was ready for a change of scenery. And I think the team came to the same conclusion. In getting Cam Atkinson, you get a different player, but a player whose numbers are not too dissimilar in a different way, meaning I think Cam Atkinson is going to score you more goals. He's not as big, but he'll go to the dirty areas, as lots of people like to refer to it. He's not afraid, kind of like at Danny Briere. He's not afraid to go to the front of the net where he knows he's going to get hit, despite his size. And I think the leadership qualities that Cam Atkinson brings is going to be hugely helpful. That's the thing. All of his moves have, again, fit that narrative. Improve the team defensively. Cam Atkinson's going to be a really good penalty killing guy too, as are the other two. But I think improve defensively, add leadership in the room, and that's going to go a long way.
Well, Tim, your preseason doesn't start until September 28th. So we know that on September 18th, you will be with us once again for Fan Fest, because I do recall a Fan Fest where me, you, and Steve Coates may have sat in three chairs and didn't move for about an hour and a half as beers just kept flowing. So I assume you'll be there again this year. At least I hope you will.
That's how bad rumors start about.
You're a good man.
With Coatsy, that is not at all a surprise, and absolutely I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good man. Timmy, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Guys, good to talk to you. Have a good day.
All right, buddy. See you too. Thanks a lot. All right, there it is. That's what you got to look forward to with the Philadelphia Flyers from one Tim Saunders, who gets to see them in and out every day. This is the John Kincaid Show. When we get back, Jamie's going to ask us a question about the Olympics and maybe something we would like to do if we had some preparation to do it. Time at the Fanatic is 9:23.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm the Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the outstanding coach, Eric Camille, in the house, pumped up, ready to go. Staples Stores, Staples Connect has everything to help you get ready for back to school with amazing prices for everything on your list. Visit your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com and be more than ready for school. Staples. All right, so Jamie, you have an interesting topic here, and I love when you put this out last night, and I put a lot of thought into it, and I couldn't come up with anything, so it's going to be interesting to hear what everybody has to say. Connor, I think, would say anything and everything, but your question concerns the Olympics, and it is a linchpin.
This is the linchpin.
All right, I'm giving everybody 4 years. 4 years where you're getting paid, let's say not well, but well enough to pay all your bills, have a little bit of funny money, but your job is to train for the Olympics. All right, I'm the only one that has to ask this. Is this prime time of your life?
Sure. Let's say we're all 21 years old.
Okay. All right. Good. Now
you're 21 years old.
Okay.
You can train for 4 years. You get access to all the proper gym, trainer, professionals, whatever. You get the Olympic athlete treatment. What sport do you think you could medal in if you took 4 years of dedication to hone and to craft? I have my answer. I'm really curious what you two or even coach would say for your answers. I thought long and hard about this. I looked up the Olympic sports yesterday, checked out all the sports, and I came up with two. I'm only going to say one, the one I think I could medal in. Speed walking. I think if I dedicated 4 years of my life to it, I could be an Olympic medalist speed walker.
Those guys are long and lean.
Yeah, I'd have to lose some weight, and I'd have to really get the hips WD-40'd up. But if I'm 21, I'm like 100 pounds less than I am now.
When did you tear up your knee?
Right around 21. So let's assume that didn't happen.
I would smoke you in speed walking right now.
That's all he can do is walk right now because he's got the busted up toe. Running.
I think I can figure it out. It's, you know, you got to get the hips moving. You got to get the shoulders moving and jive with the hips.
What I do like,
I think I could do it.
What I do like is that you didn't say something outlandish.
Yeah.
You're keeping it real.
I want something obtainable.
Coach, what do you got?
Well, I was going to ask, is it okay if it's a team sport?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, for me, it's easy. It's soccer.
Well, the U.S. didn't make the
4 years of training. If you trained for 4 years at 21, you think you could make the U.S. men's soccer team?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why we don't hear from Coach much.
I was going to say, you and Connor should go sit in the same room.
You might as well say the basketball team, Coach. You got no shot.
All right. You said 4 years.
Yeah. In all seriousness, no, at 21, if you had 4 years of training, do you think you could make the current union team?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You would be by far the best player on the union team
if you're going to
be an Olympian. No, let's all take it into context.
Yeah, Bedoya would be the guy that had the most U.S. men's national team experience.
So Alejandro Bedoya, coach is calling you out. Give him 4 years of soccer and he's better than you.
You said 4 years.
Yeah. Like an emotional show.
4 years to train.
You really think you can make an Olympic team?
You got no shot.
What is wrong with you? Can you get out of the room?
Why are you the way you are?
I don't want to be in a room with him anymore.
Hot dogs every day. Come on,
get those ballpark friends.
What do you got, Pat?
Obviously, I think this is a pretty obvious one. It's basketball.
Yes.
Now I'm not delusional like coach, so I'll go 3-on-3. But no, the three that I came up with, one of them Jamie already had, speed walking. I think I'm already pretty decent at speed walking. All right. The other one, rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh,
all right.
You do have some rhythm.
Get me that little baton with the ribbon.
Yeah,
and I will ribbon my ass off.
A little flare.
I could almost see.
Oh yeah, I'll get the hips into it. The wrist action.
I think we need some Photoshops done after the show.
Look at that wrist action.
And if then Frank the Tank can do it. You can do it.
And then I think if you gave me 4 years, I could make the curling team.
That was my other one.
That's not bad.
Now, I'm not trying to underestimate curling. I'm sure it's difficult when you're out there. But if we're talking about 4 years of training, I'd like to think we could all be decent curlers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting down curlers either.
No, I work a great broom, though, when I'm sweeping the deck.
And so you sweep a lot. Like, you're a cleaner.
Yeah.
So you kind of have
I got the natural brushing, you know, strokes
already.
Yeah,
it actually takes a lot of core strength.
Oh, well, that's I'm full of core strength.
We see that every day.
Yeah.
All right, it's definitely not as easy as you think, but.
No, it's not, but. If we're talking 4 years.
Yeah.
What do you got?
So, I was a good athlete back in the day. And I'll have to go with, to be honest.
Uh-oh.
Shooting.
Like skeet shooting?
Yeah, like I don't know, whatever kind of shooting they have here. Or what's the other thing? The
archery?
Archery.
You think you could be an archer?
Well, I think that takes some sort of athleticism. Look, I'm not going to compete with anybody at an Olympic level, no matter how much practice I got. I was never going to be a basketball, a guy I wasn't going to make, unlike Coach, I wasn't going to make the U.S. men's basketball team, like, move over LeBron. Here I come.
LeBron, give me a roster spot. I'm in.
Archery or shooting? Archery or shooting. Give me 4 years. I think I could get it down, and maybe I could make the team. I would like to get Connor's response on this, if he could fly in here, if it's at all possible.
I thought it was a hilarious conversation because, like, a lot of us are just, like, fat slobs watching the Olympics. And, you know, you see, like, this gymnast do, like, a quadruple somersault 360 reverse. And you're like, yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, I was wondering about water polo.
That's really hard.
It is hard.
I would drown.
But it's similar to basketball, soccer, where the movements are that way. I think it's angles. It's tough as hell. You're treading water the whole time.
Yeah. I thought about handball.
Yeah?
Yeah, handball. I thought about handball. Yeah.
All right, Connor, you're the athlete of the group.
What's up, boys?
21 years old, a whole 5 years ago for you. If you had 4 years to prepare... What? Give us two or three sports that you think you could make an Olympic team.
I like archery. I like that
okay.
one. I think that's a good pick.
Uh-huh.
Something that you're individual, but it's not very like physical. It's more
well,
like
hand-eye, though. Yeah, but right. That's okay. But,
baseball, I think, would be a good one. Baseball recently becoming an Olympic sport again. You're part of a big team. I think if I'm like a relief pitcher on Team USA Baseball,
you can,
and
if you had
if I'm
four
like mop
years.
Up, mop up role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, let's get something clear. You're not making Team USA, Connor. You would have to move to Kazakhstan, become a Kazakhstanian citizen, and join it like that.
And
like,
be a one pitch specialist.
Yeah, like that.
I
that
got
would
four
be
years,
you.
Man.
Like, I remember the Flyers had this prospect years ago when the Olympic Games were in, I think, Japan or Korea. He became a naturalized Korean citizen so he could join the Korean team because they automatically get a bid for hockey. So that would be your avenue in.
I'll take the auto bid. Yeah, but, I'll take that.
But you would have had to have been a D1 baseball standout.
Connor went 8 2/3 his last game in college.
You got to check the college stats.
Yeah,
I got one earned run in my entire college career.
A little bit like coach here. There's no chance in 4, 6, 8, 10 years that you're making the baseball team.
We don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, but Todd Frazier, position player. Pitchers. All right, the back end of that bullpen.
Give us some more realistic.
All right, ready? Here's some sports, and let's name if you think you could give it a shot. Table tennis. I have no shot there.
No.
Nah.
Mm. 4 years?
No.
Not even 4 years.
Handball.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I
don't think so. Curling, we talked about.
Yeah.
Pole vaulting, no shot.
No.
Nope, couldn't get my fat ass off the ground. Surfing, I suck at surfing.
Mm-hmm.
Power walking was mine.
Right,
of course. Bobsled.
Yeah.
You know what? That's something that would be cool to try for 4 years.
Yeah, the guys in Cool Runnings learned it in like a day and a half.
I know he was going to say that.
The facts are facts. They had John Candy teaching
Thank
them.
You.
All right, Connor makes a good point.
All right, Absolutely. The equestrian.
Well, you have to be... Isn't that like a weight thing? You have to be under 100 some pounds.
Let's say a fat Egan's event, right?
Let's
there.
Let's assume it's horses that can tolerate fat people.
No, I'm not showing that.
Badminton,
big horses.
Oh, badminton's not bad.
No chance.
That's like table tennis on roids. How do you handle a shuttlecock? I haven't seen you play.
My shuttlecockness back in the day wasn't bad.
If there's one person that can handle a shuttlecock on this show,
it's Bob Cooney.
It's Coach. Coach knows his way around a shuttlecock.
All right, sailing.
No.
Coach might be a sailor. He spends a lot of time on the water. He grew up in Southern California.
Could you make the sailing team, Coach?
No, I can't sail.
Bobby knows his way around a poop deck.
That's true. Skeleton racing.
What the hell?
Golf, we have no shot. Yeah. Fencing.
Nah.
I think I might have a shot at fencing.
I'm not doing the swords Olympic event.
I think the only ones I got a shot at are speed walking and curling.
Yeah, I think we have to stay away from the physicality stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
I got a text from a buddy that just said, you are all delusional today.
I think it's safe to say that none of us are making any of these teams if you give us 4 years.
Speed walking? I feel like that's the most obtainable.
What do you think your 40 time in speed walking is?
You would go to a speed walking place and there would be thousands of people better than you. Like if they have a speed walking 5K, You'd be, it would be embarrassing, Jamie.
So the record for speed walking 1 mile is held by somebody.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, somebody.
Is it the dad from Malcolm in the Middle?
Lithuania, maybe? I don't know.
Andrew?
5 minutes.
Saltunas.
36 seconds.
For what distance?
For a mile.
Speed walking?
That's not walking. That's running. That's borderline running.
Yeah, that's
I will impressive. Go out and say you have never run. Been in good enough shape to run under 5:36.
This guy, this guy's the Roger Bannister of speed walking.
Yeah. I might have to change my answer to curling and just hope and pray.
What do you how
a mile and 5:36 speed walking?
How that quickly do you think you could get from one end to like go out to our hallway here, the straight one with the new offices, to all the way down? How fast do you think you can make it?
That's pretty far. It's hard for people in the car to visualize our hallway, so
it's
say,
probably
imagine a long
100 feet.
No.
200 feet?
That's great radio, boys.
Yeah, right?
300? Am I getting hot or colder?
Yeah, let's just drop this one.
Yeah, this is getting not
yeah, good. There.
So you got the NBA draft on Thursday.
Which damn, is always a 5:36 for speed walking a mile?
Thanks, Connor. All right, so I'm looking at our YouTube because I wanted to get some reaction.
I thought it was such a funny topic.
This is awesome.
I really like yeah, eating with the twirly thing.
What is skeleton racing? When you said it, I was like, what do you do?
Oh, skeleton's terrifying.
Yeah.
Skeleton's basically back? Like in
it's like dry bobsled.
In grade of. School, when they would bring out like those
the
little
head
scooters.
First.
Yeah, you basically go head first
bobsledding solo.
Tiny little scooter.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know
that's what it was
remember
called.
Remember the guy from Georgia died a couple of years ago.
Jeez.
Well, a couple. I mean, it was probably three Olympics ago. But
We got Ryan saying these Jagaloons these Jagaloons would have no shot in an Olympic team.
We're talking about speed walking.
I don't think we'd have a shot either, but
I
had to answer the question.
And once I saw the 5:36 mile, curling, I think, is my best shot.
Egan is the right. This is too easy. Egan should think about gymnastics. He's the right size.
Actually,
you know, those guys have
rowing. You could be a coxswain.
I could.
So yeah, there you go.
They look for short people and coxswains.
Short, lightweight. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not really lightweight anymore.
Well, at age 21.
Yeah, at age 21, I was probably.
You were coxswain size.
I was probably checking in at about 125.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
You could have been a coxswain.
Well, oh yeah, no, I know my way. Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said when the thought of making an Olympic team comes into play, Jamie thinks of broken toes. Speed walking seems to be what most people think maybe we could do.
I no longer think bobsled because I forgot that a lot of bobsledders are
like
made
track
out
athletes.
Are track athletes. Yeah. Like Lolo Jones tried to make the Olympic bobsled team after she failed. Herschel Walker, I think, did make the U.S.
Bobsledding
team, but he's a running back with tree trunks as a leg, so... Yeah, I don't think I'm making the bobsled team.
Curling's my final answer.
I would love to try out curling.
There's a curling center, I think, in like Wayne or something.
There is. Yeah, there is.
So when are we heading out?
Why? I knew that, but it's funny. I always go back to my high school coach was drafted by the Sixers and was one of the last cuts of the Sixers. So he went to play in the Eastern League and thought, well, I'll just go there and show what I got and I'll be fine. He said he was amazed. He went there and there was 1,000 of him there. And he was like, damn, there's always way more people good at something than you could ever imagine. John in Marlton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, John?
Yeah, I was just wanted to call in and just say that I think you guys could all make the cricket team if you guys were 21 in training.
Cricket, that's not bad.
I played a lot of cricket when I was in Australia. I had a pretty good bat.
Did you? I don't even want to train 4 years in cricket, John.
I fancy myself a Don Bradman. It's a little cricket knowledge for you.
Hey, there you go.
Nothing wrong
with that.
I had a Shane Warne bowl to me. I had a nice little curve on the ball.
Yeah. Where I used to live, there was a cricket place that they played every weekend, like nonstop on weekends, Saturday and Sundays. I didn't see really the interest in it. I've never watched a cricket match.
It's fun as hell.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ain't you a cricketsman?
No,
you're out on the cricket.
I just never got involved.
You think any of us?
I love sports, so I can get involved with anything. I just never got involved with.
Oh, you would.
But
love
the
it.
Guy I'm not speaking to introduced me to soccer, and I'm very appreciative.
Of
the guy I'm not speaking to who introduced me to soccer, and I discovered the beauty in soccer.
It's the beautiful game.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I'd like to know what the answer is.
Why are you not speaking to the guy you're not speaking to?
He's dead to me. The guy next to you?
Yeah?
He's dead to me.
That would be one Jamie Lynch.
I almost forgot that, because I actually texted him this morning, but I almost forgot he's dead to me, but he's dead to me.
Can I ask why?
I was going to say, you texted me all morning.
Yeah. Here's the problem, is that yesterday, after the show, I sit with Chuck, our man Chuck.
Right.
Program director. Informs me, that's correct, sorry, our program director, who I love, and Chuck informs me that this guy next to you,
right,
formerly known as the bro,
right,
refuses to be the sacrifice for FanFest. He weaseled out of being the sacrifice.
Rocano?
Refusal is a strong word there.
I heard from Chuck that this man, Fugazi, I am now Team Egan. I don't care what it is, a fight, a knife throwing contest, Team Pat. Yes.
It's good to have you on my side.
This man is a fraud. This man should be on trial. It's amazing. I can't believe I put my faith into the bro.
I think you should put him on trial. Your trials are phenomenal radio.
I thought
Jamie should go on trial.
I thought this was all metaphorically speaking.
You thought it was metaphorical?
You're being sacrificed to the gods. I already got cash money to go to your family in an envelope every week. You're going to the gods.
Metaphorically,
you
sacrifice
would not,
away.
You said no to Chuck. I told him you should make it mandatory.
So just to let the people know, this was going to be a sacrifice at FanFest.
Yes. We
and
said
what was,
it
what
over
was the
and
game
over
plan,
again.
Ant? The game plan was to do what?
Fatten him up even more. Write all the names of Philadelphia sports past, including Ben Simmons on his one butt cheek.
You wanted me
and
to
Carson
Wentz with an
on
apple
the other
in my
butt
mouth.
Cheek. And then you and Tyrone were going to carry him on a pole hogtied and dump his ass into the volcano as a sacrifice for the gods.
Yeah, gee, it's I don't know why I wouldn't want to do this.
All of a sudden, do you remember when you, Bob, you
he
were
might
a witness.
Be dead to me.
You were a witness. He came in here and was like, I'm in for the good of Philadelphia sports. I'm in. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to do that now. What am I? You said that you would do it for the good of Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, metaphorically. Not like
what
physically.
What do you mean metaphorically? What are you talking
Get the
about?
Hell out of here. My fat ass is not getting carried through Xfinity Live on a stick with an apple in my mouth and a loincloth.
Metaphorically, you were supposed to race me, but.
Yeah, did you hear about this, Ann?
What's that?
So he and Egan were supposed to race today, 40-yard dash.
I listened to him. I didn't hear the,
Jamie
that part of
it. Banged his toe yesterday.
Oh, he got a little blister?
And he
not
can't
a Spencer
race
Howard
today.
He's
blister.
Got a little blister? Like a bitch.
Couldn't race today.
He's got a corn?
He banged his toe.
What with your feet?
Yeah.
Corns?
I got a gout.
Farmer's corn, or what do they call that? Farmer's wart. Something.
Dude,
he banged his toe.
This dude said he would sacrifice himself for the good of Philadelphia sports, and now all of a sudden he's backing out.
You hate sports.
Yeah.
Especially Philadelphia sports.
Absolutely.
It's not about that. He promised.
Promise that he would do whatever you need done.
He said he loved Philadelphia and Philadelphia sports. I mean, seriously, if we can't dump him into a volcano, who are we going to dump?
Cowardly bro.
Yeah.
He's a cowardly bro.
These athletes all think we're freaks anyway. Why would I sacrifice myself for them?
Now all of a sudden, he's what Mickey Mantle will do for you. He's Sonny from Bronx Tale.
I guess it ain't happening. Anthony, I apologize.
I love you, Bob Cooney, but
you are the greatest.
You slum it with a creep.
Yeah, he's dead to you. Yeah. Maybe I have to go the same route. Hey, listen, all of you need to join us for a fun day of golf at North Hills Country Club in Glenside on Monday, August 23rd.
As long as he's not there, I'll be there.
That's right.
Get your piety up your ass.
Because we're going to be raising money to provide safe housing for adults with autism. You guys know how important this is to me and to so many families out there that have adult children with autism. We ask you to go to ndlgolf.org to sign up. That's ndlgolf.org. Anthony has now condemned Jamie to the Deadpool. You are no longer alive to him. You are dead to him.
Sure.
Oh, well. I mean, you know, that's what happens when you make promises that you can't keep. I don't know what...
You can be the sacrifice.
I never made the promise. Yeah, I was never asked to make the promise. But it is what it is. What can you do? Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our generous partner, the Davis CPA Group, in making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research, it saves lives. Thanks again for joining us on the John Kincaid Show. We will be back at it tomorrow. Lots going on. More Phillies action tonight. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. Thanks for joining us. Time here at the Fanatic is 9:53.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.